Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilponian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like,
who let the dogs out?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are in the midst of getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings coming to town. 4:15 game here at Gillette Stadium this Sunday. In today's media day, I'm Fred Kirsch. This is PFW in Progress. Be here until 2 o'clock waiting for the guys. I don't know exactly when they'll be coming. I imagine somebody will be coming any moment. I know Belichick has a press conference at 12:15, so somebody will have to probably stay for that.
Your wish has been granted, Fred.
Up, here comes Paul, my sidekick. We did a whole show yesterday, just the two of us. Just the two of us. That's one of Paul's songs, right?
Sure.
You can make it if... All right, I'll stop singing. But Paul's here, just came from the locker room. Again, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Calls and emails. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Want to talk about Brad Childress, who is making this an interesting week, even more interesting than it was, although he apologized yesterday for some of the comments he made earlier. We'll talk about that. Talk about Randy Moss and Brett Favre and Adrian Peterson and Percy Harvin and all the talent that the Vikings have. Talking about that, if there's stuff left over from the Chargers win, of course, you know, that's on the table as well. But I think, you know, quickly, all eyes have turned forward to the Minnesota game. That's coming up this weekend. Paul, what's up?
Basically, you set the table nicely.
The table has been set.
Yeah.
Celtics won their home opener against the Heat last night.
We'll take calls. Childress, you know, had his conference call today and I guess sort of, you know, stepped away. You know, I didn't mean anything
by that. I might even believe him because the way he kind of said it, like it was almost a badge of honor. They're one of the all-time great.
He left it ambiguous that he wasn't necessarily talking about Spygate. He was talking about their ability to prepare and and decipher what you're trying to do.
Right.
Signal stealing, you know, in a legal sense. I don't think that's what he was talking about, however. I think it was absolutely Spygate related.
Okay.
Yes. And I actually think, Freddie, it goes back to, you know, we talked about that game in 06, the Monday night game. I think he's referring to the Super Bowl when he was the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia, to be honest with you.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. I brought that up to a couple of reporters and thought they were going to ask about that.
We'll see the columns tomorrow.
And they didn't. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't him.
Anybody, all of them. They all
they didn't ask about it.
Though. They all steal from us.
I thought they would ask him about it. I thought that was a very logical question. You know, you were part of a team that lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Is that something that, you know, in light of those events that came out afterwards, has that given you further cause for frustration over that loss? Do you think it played a role? Is that a, that's a fair question.
Sure,
that's not
it
a
is.
Loaded question,
especially after Reese brought it up himself.
You know, he opened the door to talk about signals. So you open the door, let's keep it open.
Right.
No one asked them about it.
Wow.
No one even brought it up. All they asked him were you talking about, I guess there was one direct question. I think Tom Curran asked him, were you referring to Spygate? And he said, no, I guess. And I was just talking in general terms. Yeah. And, you know, well, someone asked a follow up, you know, were you aware that what kind of reaction that would have up here?
Right.
And that's when he said, you know, I didn't mean anything by it. It wasn't meant to be disrespectful to them and you know, whatever. Like I said, I don't believe him.
I mean, if I was a coach on a team and I mentioned a party cruise and I was playing the Vikings that Sunday, I would imagine that they would think I'm talking about them, right?
Right.
You know?
Good old Fred Smoot.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
I don't think there's much question he was talking about that, but listen, that's fine. It's when you do things, you just, you know, it's not unfair when people mention them.
Right.
You know, they were fined heavily for that by the NFL, right? So,
right.
You know, you can say what you want about what you think it meant, but them's are the facts, as they say. So the fact that people bring it up shouldn't really be a cause for concern. But I do think there's definitely no love lost between Belichick and Childress. They don't like each other. I wonder how that started.
I just don't think Belichick has time. He doesn't suffer fools very well. And I think he thinks Childress is a fool.
Well, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with either of your sentiments. I think that Bill doesn't have time for that. And I do think that he qualifies. Childress qualifies. But there's a lot of other guys I would think they qualify. I don't seem to have this.
Well, they don't talk, speak out.
Headbutting,
right.
You know.
Because they don't speak out.
It's so ridiculous.
You know? At least they're smart enough not to say stupid stuff. I mean, you know, it's really, really hard to be a head coach in the NFL. It really is. It takes, more than just X's and O's, as we're seeing with Josh McDaniels and, you know, a bunch of other guys. It's really hard. And then even once you start doing it, to sustain that message with these guys over, you know, a number of years.
Right.
You can lose them really easy. It's hard to gain their trust. You can lose that trust easily. It's a hard job. I'd say,
oh, it is. Yeah,
I'd say
absolutely.
In sports.
And you're seeing it now. You're seeing, I think, just how impressive that New England has been, how impressive Indianapolis has been.
Look what's
happening around the league. The teams that are good one year, and then there's a reason why you have a 50% turnover in playoff teams almost every year.
John
look
Fox,
what's happening to New Orleans right now.
John Fox at one time was the hot coach. I mean, he was like right up there with, you know, any of the top coaches. And now look, this is it. He's done after this year.
More than likely.
Yeah.
More than likely, yeah. And I'm not even talking about teams like that. I'm talking like New Orleans. You know, you get great and you have a nice run and you win a title. And then,
right.
And then what happens? You know, then listen, they may right the ship and be a good, solid playoff team by the end, but you're seeing how hard it is.
It is.
They're losing home games to the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
You know, San Diego has this roller coaster that they tend to go on all the time. Even Pittsburgh has not really been impervious to it. They've had some non-playoff years mixed in.
And Chicago, you know, everyone thought, they're going to be pretty good this year. And they've been so roller coaster.
Well, I had them as the last place team in that division.
Well,
but
you know more than
no. Well, you know, just to show you how silly it is, some people went off the first 2 weeks and said that there are now. I think Domowich in our paper said at the quarter poll there is Super Bowl team in the NFC.
Right.
I'd be stunned if they make the playoffs.
Right.
Stunned.
Yeah.
If they make the playoffs.
You know, the Giants start one way and then, you know.
Giants look great right now. I got to tell you that.
They look like the hot team in the NFC, certainly.
They look like they have some of that defense back that they had. But getting pressure up front, and I think they've always been, I think, pretty dangerous
offensively. Before he won the Super Bowl, Coughlin was done. Then this year he was done, and now he's back, you know, being, you know, a great coach. And
Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans were 13-3. Then they started off 0-6 last year and lost a game 59-0.
Right.
And they finished 8-8. And now they're 5-2. And they look like they're a decent team again. You know, just the roller coaster. Yeah. A lot of these teams. Well, the Patriots don't really ride. We thought they were going to ride a roller coaster within a year.
Yeah.
And we've seen some up and down play from the Patriots. But when all is said and done, they're always a good team. Always.
You know, but going back to the whole coach, I think in the NFL, if you're an owner and you find a guy who can be a good coach year after year, you hold on to him like you're falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's that quarterback and the coach. Yeah. If you can get those.
They, you know, people said, oh, I can't believe Kraft gave up a first-round pick back at the time for Belichick. A head coach, a good head coach is worth a first-round pick and more. You know, if he's going to be a guy that for years you can count on, that's certainly worth a couple first-round picks easily because they're just hard to find.
Remember I told you yesterday that I bet you Childress gets fined for that comment? He did.
Yeah.
$35,000.
Good week for him, huh? He had to go. He had to apologize to the opponent media, gets fined $35,000, you know? What's he going to go out with Junior Seau next?
You know what? I understand their whole thing, but I don't understand when you criticize a specific call that the league says
that's not why they
that
criticize.
What do they criticize him
they
for?
They fined him because in a phone call, the guy he was talking to the NFL admitted that.
Oh, he divulged that information.
He divulged that information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they gave him the fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's not right by the NFL either. Then.
No.
Why, you know, if they apologized and said that they got the call wrong, we should know that. Because then, you know, smartasses like me wouldn't say that Mike Pereira is going to tell you there was the right call all the time if they actually do admit sometimes that they make mistakes.
Greg Aiello said that it's, you know, it's understood that you never reveal those confidential phone
calls.
That's
not right.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
The NFL should come out and say it.
That's my point.
It shouldn't be up to the coach to have to say that.
Right. They should. Know? When they admit that they make a mistake, the public should know
How can you imagine if you were in that spot and you were the coach and you saw a touchdown overturned that was just a touchdown? And, you know, you're screwed. Remember was it last year, 2 years ago? It was Denver versus San Diego.
Yeah.
And Hockley made that bad. That cost a game.
Yeah.
That cost them a game.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
You know? How can you, as a coach, you not say anything?
Well, I think that you can make an argument that cost them the game the other day, too. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean,
it was a 4-point.
I know. I mean, the game changes, but that's a huge, huge play in that game.
Instead of a touchdown, now it's a hold.
He is having a tough day.
I heard he's retarded or something.
Oh, God. He should come. It's Halloween. He should come with a mask on because, you know.
It's going to be an interesting game. I think the Vikings could ultimately come in here and beat the Patriots, or I think they could really lose the game by 35 points. I think if they, with all of the turmoil that they have going on right now between Favre and the coach, and you got to think the coach and the team, you know, how do they come out and play?
Well,
how do they come out and play? I think they could roll over and lay an egg.
I mean, Favre hasn't taken a snap yet this week. He's not going to take a snap today, according to reports. So maybe he'll practice tomorrow and Friday. I don't know. But, you know, I assume Tavares Jackson's taking the snaps, which is good because if Favre isn't ready, then he can, you know, he'll be at least have had a week of reps. But, you know, at this point, when does Childress have the nutsack to say, all right, I'm starting Jackson. You know, you're not ready, and I can't start you. Could he ever do that and break that streak, you know? Or would it have to be Favre himself pulling himself from the game, you know? It's just, it's not a good situation in Minnesota. It really isn't. And
I just don't see Childress.
And the players aren't oblivious to this. They know
what's
going on.
That's my point. I think that's why I think that the potential is there for them to get blistered in this game. And I know that you'll think it has everything to do with the comment. And I do think Bill will try to score as many points as he can.
Yeah.
But if they get blown out, it's going to be because the Vikings are imploding.
No, you're right.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
You know, for example, San Diego last week laid an egg in the first half and easily could have lost that game by 35 points.
Sure.
Now, they kept playing hard,
yep,
especially defensively.
Yep.
I don't think the Vikings will do that if they get off to a similar start.
Especially when you're on the road. Yeah. I mean, and we know Randy Moss. But if things start to turn, he is the type of player who will want to distance himself from losers.
Fred, they could have a 20-point lead. If he's not involved early, he'll put it in the tank. We've seen him do it. I know we never admitted it until now, but we've seen him do it.
I don't know. I'm talking more if they start losing by 20, I can just see him distancing himself because he's done that in the past before. Those types of players, that's what they do on the sideline. They want to make sure that the cameras pick them up, you know, showing that they want to have nothing to do with this, you know. And I can see that happening.
I think the potential is there for it to be a tough day for them, for the Vikings.
On the flip side, if they come out and, you know, they get to an early lead and, you know, Patriots make a couple mistakes early, or, you know, Randy Moss gets, you know, goes long early, or Peterson breaks one off, I can see it turning around for them too. And I can see them pasting because of the talent that they have.
Yeah, I agree. And they're a good football team that is killing itself, just like San Diego.
Yep.
Now, the difference is, and you talked about it yesterday, the quarterback is killing Minnesota, whereas everybody was killing San Diego.
Right.
So you're right. If Favre all of a sudden plays one of those games, like the last time he was here with the Jets, he was outstanding, if you recall, in that overtime game.
Yep.
The 34-31 game back in 08. He's capable of, you know, playing a sound football game.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to be this reckless guy who's forcing the ball into coverage.
And I heard somebody say that limited mobility might be the best thing for him because he'll be forced to not want to extend plays. He'll be forced to get rid of the ball quickly, more plays to Adrian Peterson.
Right.
You know, so it might actually be a good thing that he's hurt.
Well,
you know?
I think that would be the Vikings' best way to go about it, is to sort of hand the ball to Peterson a little bit. I would try to get him 15-plus carries in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd really try to ride him early in the game and see if they can move the ball, try to control the clock, and then you get a lead, and now the Jared Allens of the world become that much more effective.
Yeah. So it'll be, you know, and Minnesota, even though they're 2-4,
you know, I know, you're scared of this game.
I am scared, and, Favre has the ball in his hand, so it's worse when your quarterback is the one losing. Despite that, they've been very close in these games.
Ball's feel good. Yeah. The ball there has silicone on it.
I mean, they had the ball at the end of the game, and they could have won against the Jets.
Yep.
They had the ball at the end of the game and could have won against Green Bay. They had the ball at the end of the game and could have won against New Orleans.
Yeah.
What was their – I don't even know what their fourth loss was.
But I know they did.
Miami, absolutely.
Like a four-point game.
And they were on the goal line, and Miami stopped them four plays inside the five.
Right.
So they easily could have won every game that they've lost.
Yeah. You know, you take out just one interception from Favre each of those games, and they probably win. You know, not to mention the overturned touchdown in the last game.
Right.
You know? So they've had some bad luck. And
Brady talked today, by the way, Freddie, and I – assume that he got some questions about the Childress comments. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
When I was in there, he was talking a lot about the streak with Favre and just how impressive that is, and how, you know, every game you're so beat up and banged up, and to do that 291 now, something like that.
Yeah.
To do that is just so amazingly impressive that, you know, he was blown away by it.
I think Favre could be one of those guys that likes pain. He might be. He might be like a masochist. That, you know, he just kind of enjoys it. It kind of makes him feel alive.
It's amazing because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that go out there and play through pain. But almost everybody gets an injury that I don't care what your pain threshold is, you can't play. When you tear an ACL, you can't play anymore, you know? You break an arm, you can't play, you know, as a quarterback. It's amazing he hasn't had that happen to him.
And, you know, Manning has never missed a game since he's been a pro.
Yeah, that's true.
But the difference between Manning and Favre is he didn't get sacked as much as Favre. He gets rid of the ball and didn't run around like Favre has run around in his career.
Yeah.
He hasn't taken the hits that Favre has taken, certainly. Not that, you know, he's been.
You can't really recall too many highlights of Peyton Manning getting lit up.
You don't. Mostly the kind of more wrestle down type of sacks. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy, you know, bulls his way
and
in.
And a lot of times he sees it coming.
Right.
He doesn't get sacked very much, period.
And he goes, no, well, he never gets sacked.
No. Yeah.
Say.
He's like Marino.
Less than 20 a year every year.
I mean, Marino, every game, you got to get to Dan Marino, but no one ever could.
Yeah.
You know?
And Favre was 291, by the way.
291. Pulled that one out of my butt.
There you go. So, yeah, Favre, you know, he's not a, he is a guy that does get hit and gets pressured and gets sacked, but he just goes on and on and on.
How cool would it be if he didn't play?
That would
and
be
the
something.
The streak snaps here on Halloween.
Yeah.
That would be something. Yeah. But,
I don't think there's
here's another thing that they might do. He might go out. He's ineffective because of the injury. Then they pull him. But the streak remains active, you know?
Then what do you do next week?
Yeah. No, I think, well, he needs another week of rest, you know?
Well, then the streak ends.
No. What I'm saying is that, you know, he's just not quite ready. They pull him out, but he starts next week.
Well, you know? That'll be really bad.
Well.
Don't you think? Wouldn't that be cheesy?
It's bad for the team, for Tavares Jackson, I think, you know? I don't know. That team is a mess. It really is.
Yeah, that's why I think the Patriots are going to win comfortably this week.
Really?
Yeah. Just because I think the situation, it's almost the opposite of the way I felt last week. I really thought, and listen, obviously I was wrong and you were right. I really thought that San Diego would have that desperation and play with purpose. And it was exactly the opposite. And you made the comment, what makes you think this is the week they stop making the mistakes? And that kept ringing in my head. With every turnover, I kept thinking, Freddie told me. This is what you said last week, and yeah. I didn't listen. And I have to go with that now. What makes me think this is the week that Minnesota puts it all together and avoids all those mistakes, compounded by the fact that they seem to be in disarray?
The only thing I can say is if Favre decides, whether it's because of the injury or because finally he keeps his ego in check, to play a game management style of football, I think they have a better chance.
Well, let's say this. If there's no turnovers in the game, I'm a scared.
Yeah.
If there's no mistakes, basically.
Right. If both teams play
as well as they
mistake
can,
mistake-free, then...
If both teams play as well as they can,
yeah,
I think you lose.
Yeah.
I don't think that will happen.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. We got to... I'll tell you, as far as the tickets go for this game, you know, there's always a few that you can find. You know, if someone's looking, you know, there's something to be found somewhere. There is not a ticket to be found for this game.
Really?
Oh, it is. I mean, all the games are sold out, quote unquote, but this game is sold out. There is not a ticket to be found.
Yeah.
So, and it was even before Moss that this was a hot ticket just because of Favre, but now it's just... It's impossible.
Should I sell the tickets I bought my parents, Fred?
The Halloween crazies?
I mean, you could probably get triple the face value right now just off the street.
Probably not as much as you could get for a Celtics ticket last night, though.
What were they
going
for?
Did you go to that game?
No, my roommate has two season tickets, and he actually ended up selling them, and he got like $400 a pop for like a $30 ticket. So
wow.
That's good.
He figured it would help kind of eat into the whole value of the tickets, so...
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas?
Well,
hey, Tyrone.
We're doing all right. How you doing?
Hey, man, just chilling. You know, lunch. But before I go on, yo, I love that new segment. You guys do that PF TV or something like that.
Oh, okay.
PFW TV.
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, Andy and I do the all-access point counterpoint, and then we have PFW TV, which is the show that's on Comcast, but we also put it on Patriots.com.
Yeah, I see that every Friday, I think. But the point counterpoint with, what's that name? Fourier, I think his name is.
Oh, Christian, yeah.
You guys are hilarious.
We get worried that it's just too over the top, you know, because we start arguing right from the get-go.
Man, you guys are like peanut butter and jelly.
Well, that goes together.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You guys go together, even though you guys argue. You guys, like, you know, you guys write for that show.
Okay.
But anyway, yo, man, I'm not too pleased by that win. I know we won. I'm glad we won, but that offensive line got to play better. For us to go to the next level, to beat the Jets, not like getting beat every time.
Yeah.
You know, last year I said, I'm tired of Matt Blake because he always getting beat. That left side, that Chargers was bringing pressure on that left side every time. I was just that side.
Yeah.
And Copen not the answer neither. For us to beat like Minnesota, because, man, if they think they had a problems this week, then Williams boys from Minnesota, which I'm a be up in Foxborough for that game anyway, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can see you guys, but I'm going to be up there for that game.
Okay.
Them boys coming.
Well, that's the thing. The good teams in this league and the teams that, once they get in the playoffs, succeed, you know, Minnesota, the Giants, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, they're all good up front. They can all pressure the quarterback, you know. That is a concern.
Well, the defense, they playing the best they can play. I'm not even mad about the defense. I'm talking about the offensive line. You know, the defense, there's a young defense, and they trying, hey, you can't fault them guys. You can tell they are playing the hardest they can. Bill Belichick, giving credit with a bunch of B and C players, they playing as hard as they can. And I give them credit. I'm not even mad at the defense no more. They played well at Baltimore, and they played okay at San Diego. But that offensive line, man, and why are we not seeing Taylor Price? What's going on with him?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked that. I mean, who's he going to beat out at this point? Who is he going to replace? You can only have so many wide receivers active on game day.
So, well, Brandon Tate, man.
Do you want Brandon Tate to be inactive and not returning kicks?
Right, that's the problem, you know?
But what I'm saying is, for us to go to that next level also, we're going to need that production out of, you know, Deion Branch doing the best he can. Welker, you know, like everybody's saying, since Morsi going to be there, he's not going to have the catches he used to get, which it looked like you're seeing that because you're seeing that a little bit, you know, which I'm still glad he's gone. No, make no mistake, but you're seeing that a little bit. But also, we need that production. The two rookie tight ends, man, you can't even argue with them guys. They played hard. But we need some production out of that other receiver in order for us, and that's another thing to beat like the Jets, to beat like the echelon teams, because, and another thing, like I said, is the offensive line. We can't run the ball when winter time comes around. We can't run the ball. We can't throw it, especially in a bad weather game. What are we gonna do then?
Well, I'll tell you if Childress remains in that cover too, you probably won't see Tate going long in this game either, because that's what they're built around, is to not let up that big pass, and you're going to see Welker and Branch underneath. That's going to be the game plan all day long.
Yeah, and Hernandez, I think you'll see. Listen, the offense, I understand, the offense is still a work in progress without Moss. They're adjusting here on the fly. We've only had 2 weeks that they've had without Randy Moss. So it's going to take some time. I don't think if Taylor Price was better than Brandon Tate, he'd be active.
Right.
You know, that's – I'm not concerned about that. Yeah.
I think
Bill plays the guys he thinks can help him win.
Well, my opinion, I think how Belichick is like, since Brandon Tate is the second guy, he's trying to give him a chance before. I think so. I think that's what he's doing. Trying to give him a chance before, you know, he pulled the plug on him. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, but see, neither of those guys, Price or Tate, are good enough to just win their job as a wide receiver yet. And the fact that Tate is such a dynamic kick returner, he gets the edge over Price at this point. Plus, he might be a little better as a receiver, but the fact that he can return kicks puts him over the edge. Now he's worth giving him a roster spot on game day.
Well, what did you see from Taylor Price during the preseason he's better than
nothing.
Brandon
nothing.
Tate?
Nothing yet.
But it looked like I'm not like an expert, but it looks like, you know, I saw him did one catch in preseason against the Giants when Brian Hoyer was the quarterback. He made an acrobatic catch. I'm thinking he could be like a Brit, you know, that guy down there in Tennessee. he could be, you know, he just getting the ball, you know what I'm saying?
Look,
like our British, you know.
No, I mean, Tyrone, we saw him all through training camp, and we thought that this kid had skills.
I like him. Yeah, I think he's a developmental prospect.
But it's going to take some time.
He's a third-round pick out of a small, you know, a smaller Division I school in Ohio that didn't throw the ball very much. He's the last wide receiver on the depth chart.
Yeah, I think when it comes to catching, I think he might be more athletic than Tate. And I think
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he just doesn't have the chops yet to get out there and take a 45 man spot on Sunday. You know, those spots are precious, and you can't use it on game day for development. You know,
But two more points before I go. What are we going to do on that? Two things. What are we going to do with Matt Light as far as, is anything we could do to help him out or something? And number two, what's going on with Julian Edelman? And I'll listen to you guys when I get home. You guys have a good one. I'll see you guys Sunday.
Okay, thanks, Tyrone. Tyrone from Delaware. You know, two things he brought up. Matt Light, I mean, at times, you know, obviously they've left tight ends in and he's gotten help. They might have to do that if Jaren Allen starts owning him. He didn't the last time Matt Light played. Oh, did they have Jaren Allen back then in 06?
No,
I don't think so.
No, Jared Allen's been a problem for the Patriots when they've played him.
Okay, well, there's certain guys that are pretty good that Light has a good, you know, okay day, and there's other times that he just can't deal with. You know, Aaron Schobel is one guy, and obviously Jason Taylor. So we'll see what happens. And if they have to, they'll have to do max protect and they'll have to leave somebody in, and that's going to limit Brady to a certain, you know. So I think next year is the year they've got to do something with left tackle. I don't know if, you know, if it's moving Vollmer over, so be it. But they've got to do something. I mean, you know, look, Matt Light wasn't sure this year he'd have a job. You know, so they've got to start looking at that spot.
I think
spot.
He's taking too much heat. I don't think he's a great left tackle. You know that. You know I don't think that. But I think the offensive
line. But he's getting older.
The offensive line struggled badly on Sunday. It wasn't just Matt Light. There was
pressure
coming off the right side. There was pressure coming off the left side. And there was pressure coming up the middle.
Yeah, but
there was a problem on the offensive line on Sunday.
Sure there was. I mean, but I'm just specifically talking about the left tackle. It might be time to invest in that spot.
Well, my assumption is that Vollmer is going to move to left tackle when Light is gone. But that doesn't answer your question. Who plays right tackle? Quinn Ojanaka?
Right.
Mark Lavore? I mean, I don't know. Do you think those guys are ready?
But you might be able to pick up in the offseason, whether it's through the draft or free agent, a right tackle a little easier than it will be a left tackle.
No pizza? Wow.
Andy's here.
Everybody's waiting.
Oh,
there's pizza coming or something.
Oh, it hasn't come yet.
None there yet. No.
What's going on, Andy?
Going to put the brakes on my Steven Gostkowski's great because he's got long kickoffs. Andy's hitting his field goals now. Bill kind of poo-pooed the kickoffs. I think most of those we've had this year were wind-related, and if you look back, they balanced out. If we got them, the other team got them. Like, he didn't say it meanly. He didn't say it meanly at all, but I'm thinking, I loved you a softball. I just wanted you to say it's great that the kickers came. And he... So most of those are wind related.
I think when you only have one guy on your roster, you want to keep him on his toes. You don't want him to get comfortable.
Andy, what was the last question about where he started laughing?
He laughed at himself not answering questions about Brad Childress and bringing up games of the past. And
he made himself laugh.
A couple different times. First, he said, because it was Dan Shaughnessy tried to get into it and was kind of like trying to ease it. Have you ever... Or what do you think when coaches bring up games in the past or something? And in one of the answers, Bill said, you know, I'm not really worried about what happened in 06, 02, 01, 89. And when he said 89, he smiled for some reason like, that was really funny. I wasn't even here in 89 or something. And then he finished up non-answer 3 and with something like, did you get what you needed? About what you thought you were going to get something? And was laughing as he walked. He was actually laughing on the way in. Coming in with Stacey James, the director of media relations. So he was in a very good mood. Fred, if you want to read into that, they're going to kill the Vikings or whatever. But
well, I think they are going to kill the Vikings.
I think they could, too.
But. Well, speaking of Bill, yesterday on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com Radio, Bill Belichick was a call-in guest. He actually called in and did about 15 minutes with Pete. It was a nice surprise. And
must-listen radio?
Must-listen radio. You can actually listen to the replay of that on Patriots.com. You can either... just listen to it on demand, or you can download it to your device of choice. So that was That's probably what put him in such a good mood for the rest of the week.
Your device
talking
choice.
With Pete last night.
Yeah, that's big. Big for the Pete Shepherd Show.
Yeah. Big for the
It's all the rage right now nationwide.
Yeah.
Is it really?
So you guys were in the locker room. What was going on in there?
Dale Earnhardt died.
I already talked about the locker room.
You did? You said you talked to Brady.
I said I listened to Brady talk about Favre a lot.
Right.
I didn't hear what he said about Childress. I'm assuming that someone asked him about Childress, although that's probably a bad assumption on my part because evidently they didn't ask Childress a whole lot of questions about Childress on the conference call. They didn't ask him to really – someone asked him – Tom Curran asked specifically, were you referring to Spygate? And he sort of backtracked a little bit. And someone said, well, did you have any idea what kind of reaction that was going to elicit up here? And he said, I didn't mean any disrespect by it, and you know, to them.
So they didn't ask his motivation?
Yeah.
Because Shaughnessy asked Bill, what would a coach's motivation, Bill, be? And I'm thinking, why wouldn't you ask the coach? Who said it? Childress. What was your motivation? Like, what were you thinking?
Now, I didn't hear the conference call. I was relayed those questions by someone who did hear it. I just was wondering, Andy, you and I were talking about this. You know, isn't the obvious question, you were on the staff in Philadelphia in 04. You were the offensive coordinator. Do you feel slighted? You know, in retrospect, is that what you were talking about? No one asked them about it.
Now, did people know about that before? I mean,
what's to know? I mean,
well, Paul, we all know that a lot of people covering the Patriots don't exactly have a good sense of history like you do.
I'm sorry. To me, history is stuff that happened like hundreds of years ago.
I hear you. I'm just saying.
Stuff that happened 6 years ago.
Not only do they not have a good sense of history, they don't connect the dots.
Wait, which
like
dot
you
are
do.
You saying they didn't connect? That he was with the Eagles?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
I didn't think it was that, you know, far a dot to connect.
I mean, there are times, listen.
It wasn't brought up by anyone.
There are times that you.
It's the first thing I said to Paul, when I came in and when I heard him the other day, I said, he sounds like Joey Porter.
Yes.
Porter's pissed off because
exactly
his Steelers
the first reaction
didn't get his
I
rings.
Had.
This guy's pissed off because his Eagles didn't get his rings. Yeah. Although I will say, in his original, when he brought it up.
He talked about the 06 game.
He also referenced when I was with the Eagles, you know, we'd seen them in the past when I was with the Eagles, something, something. It was part of the transcript. It was another question
right.
later.
Yeah.
So even if you didn't know, he told you. He put it out there in one of his follow-up
answers.
Yeah,
it's not like John Harbaugh, for example, was a special teams coach. He wasn't a highly known coordinator. You know, a lot of times coordinators get to be kind of famous before they become head coaches.
Right.
Because they're so good, they're up and coming.
Sure.
You know,
Ron Rivera.
Sean Payton was like that. Right?
You pick the guy.
He picks an anonymous coordinator. Yeah.
Who some people like 10 years ago thought he was up and coming.
Well, no.
And why does he not get jobs?
No, there was a time when he was like the hot prospect.
But like Sean Payton was a very hot commodity as a coordinator and became a head coach. John Gruden, before he became a head coach, was a huge name.
Yep. Josh McDaniels.
You know, I can understand some guys like John Harbaugh were kind of anonymous.
Yeah.
Brett Childress was a pretty big name when he was the offensive coordinator at Philadelphia, and it was a matter of time before he was going to get a job. Now, he's turned out, in my opinion, to be way in over his head. I don't think he's a very good head coach.
Yeah.
But he skates. I don't feel like he gets mocked as much as Norv Turner and Wade Phillips. And I don't feel
he gets mocked.
Well, but don't you think the reason that Norv Turner and Wade Phillips get more is because they're on their third failures?
Maybe.
Third, fourth, I mean, fourth in some cases.
But I think he does things that are far more laughable and mockable than Norv Turner. I think Norv Turner's just proven himself. He's not a good head coach.
He's a great coordinator.
But he doesn't do anything, whereas Childress is laughable in the Brett Favre stuff, and some of these things he does and says are idiotic.
You know what's funny about that? You know, the Norv Turner thing specifically? You look at the game itself on Sunday and look at, you know, the last 14 minutes or so of that game. Norv Turner coached his ass off in the last last quarter of that game. And on the opposite side of what we all think is the best in Belichick. I mean, he figured out a way to get the ball in the end zone when he couldn't do it the first three quarters. Then he onside kicks. Then he gets the ball back in the end zone. Then he gets his defense. I mean, he did a lot of different things there, and they all worked.
Well, I think
until ultimately they fell short.
Our little truth serum game. I think if you got Belichick and other respected head coaches and football minds, I think they respect Norv Turner. I think they have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. Not I don't so think sure they have any the respect case. For Brad Schill. We talked about that already.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's the case for... What,
how did you put it, Fred?
He doesn't suffer fools.
He doesn't suffer fools. And Brad Childress is a fool.
I think he is a fool.
That's what Freddie said before.
A couple other notes out of the locker room you asked.
Yeah.
Oh, look at BJ Raji. What a fatty. Whew. Sorry.
Radio, Paul.
Go ahead. His shirt came up, and it was not a good look.
High praise from Algie Crumpler talking about Gronkowski's touchdown. Said one of the few players in the NFL that could make that play because of his hands, his size, obviously, the ability and to go up and get that football. Not a lot of players in the league would have been on the receiving end of that catch from Tom Brady, which
okay,
tremendous. You may not have noticed it, Fred, because you're not in there all that often, but there's a large ball in Stephen Gostkowski's locker. I interviewed Gostkowski today for a story, and then I finished saying, what's the deal with the ball? Something for stretching? He just laughs and goes, no, it's my tape ball. I go, what? I go, it's only week six. That's not going to fit out the door. He goes, oh, no, no, I've been working on this since 2007. It's like, I mean, it's bigger than a basketball or a soccer ball at this point. It's probably...
So every time he takes his tape off, he adds it to it? Or
no, I get the feeling he just takes new tape and wraps it around it. It didn't look like dirty used tape. It looks
oh,
like...
Oh, that's good.
He just...
He's wasting the company's money.
So you sign a contract extension, and now you can just
well,
waste...
Just so you know, I told Paul, I did that in high school. Sophomore year, I DH'd, and that's the most boring... High school DH is probably the worst job on the planet. And I would make balls out of tape and make... Henna put little like ropes on them out of tape and make weapons out. I mean, there's always tape around with the trainers. You can steal a little and
what would you
play with it.
What would you rather do? Because I had a, I know I told you the story before. You DH'd in high school. Would you rather be the guy that plays the field but doesn't hit?
Oh, that's a way worse.
Oh.
Yeah, we had our shortstop.
I told you I treated
my whole
like
senior year.
I unbuttoned my jersey. I would play with. I would have fun with the whole gimmick.
We had a shortstop that played every game, Fred, at shortstop and didn't hit. And then all of a sudden,
can you
like,
do that?
There was if the pitcher hits, there's high school rules.
Oh, really?
But yeah, we got down to like the second to last game of the year,
and he quit.
He let him hit.
Oh, I would have quit. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't approve of quitting, but I would have quit.
And the kid got three hits.
Wow.
So
baseball's not all that fun when you hit. Never mind when you take out the offense.
So he ends up playing the next game, and he lets him hit, and he got three more hits.
Uh-oh.
So we go to the tournament, and he's hitting now. We were down 1-0 in the fifth. He hit a home run to tie the game.
Jeez.
So he had a terrible coach. Is that what you're telling me?
Andy, why would they put you at DH, too? You seem like an athletic guy. Could cover the outfield
sophomore year or whatever. I mean, junior
Kevin,
and senior.
Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah, he couldn't catch the ball. He couldn't play the outfield.
Well, out of all of us, he looks like he probably could run the fastest.
Kevin.
Well,
I did
please.
Have the green light when I got
San
on.
Diego 2 years ago. That's all I can say.
He lost the decathlon to Fred.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. 402-642-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
No, you're on.
You're good, Fred.
Why are you shaking your head no?
I was just laughing.
Why?
You just did a little funny thing with your head when you get in there. Andy noticed it, too.
What?
It was funny.
What do I do?
It's just funny.
What
you're
do
funny.
I do?
You're a funny guy.
What do I do?
You're funny.
What did I do?
How are those zips working out? No, not zips.
Zig-techs.
Fred, by the way, that was the new rejoin Doc made. The subscription rejoin gives you the information to subscribe to the paper. That's probably why you thought it was a commercial when we were getting back in.
Oh, I did think it was a commercial.
I didn't hear it.
Well, I'll do it next time.
Rejoin it later?
Yeah, next time we do a break, I'll go back in.
It's called the rejoin. Rejoin
yet. Well, it's just, it gives you the subscription information for the paper, followed by like a music bed to get into.
So like in TV, don't they call those bumps?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So are you making up the word rejoin, or is it a common industry term?
Well, I think that's what...
I got my answer. I don't need any
No, no. That's what 98.5... No, that's what 98.5 calls them.
It sounds right.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I've just never heard it before, and we've kind of been doing this long enough that I thought I would have heard the term.
True,
speaking of that, you know, that reminds me. I remember back when the Patriots drafted Chris Canty in the first round.
Yeah.
Dubious pick. I'll admit that. No doubt. But would
you have admitted it at the time?
No, but both Pete Carroll and Kraft at the time
not until said, they released him.
At the time said they described him as a press corner. And both of them were criticized and made fun of because what's a press corner? This is like a new term. And now everybody uses it.
They hadn't used it then?
Remember that, Paul?
I absolutely do. I remember, not surprisingly, a little different than you do. I thought that I want to say this as respectfully as possible.
Are you talking about the owner?
I didn't think that Pete Carroll was criticized for calling him a press corner.
Okay. Okay. Right? I had a pizza halfway down my throat.
Kevin, I think you need to do the Heimlich on Fred.
But so what?
I think it was like we would say with Jerry Jones, who thinks he's the GM.
Right.
I think that was the nature of the criticism.
No, but I remember distinctly Shaughnessy saying, what is a press corner? I've never heard that before.
I remember that as well.
Yeah.
You are right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shaughnessy was wrong about that.
But just because he's an idiot doesn't mean everybody
exactly.
was an idiot.
All right. Okay.
But I think that came around.
I had a pizza halfway down my throat.
The next year, Fred, if you recall, I think was the Tabucky Jones draft.
Right. That's the stopwatch comment.
Yes.
Right.
You see where I'm going?
No,
here?
I do. But the reason I brought it up was the made up term, you know, reminded me of the whole press corner thing. So, let's see. 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, is Mike in Puerto Rico. Hey, Mike.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. How you doing?
I am well. First thing that I want to touch today is how frustrating is it to see a team go against us being 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 17, and get convergence like that every single time?
Well, it's frustrating, but they have been winning. I mean, I understand it's a clear problem, and it has been funny that it seems like the 3rd and longs have been almost more makeable for the other team than the 3rd and shorts, and I think part of that gets into the secondary and the pass defense and the issues they have there, pass rush, all of that kind of comes to a head on those 3rd and long type plays.
I actually played a lot closer attention this week because I was actually looking at it because it just gets so frustrating sometimes when you see, I mean, those big 3rd down conversions happening, for example, like what happened with Buffalo. Like they had, like, I think it was something like a 70-something 3rd and long that they never actually converted, and they did it routinely against us in that game. And I was thinking about that bend and don't break philosophy. And to me, converting a 3rd and 17 is a breaking. It's not bending. I don't know if breaking means actual scoring or even scoring touchdowns. Like bending would be kicking a field goal rather than breaking, scoring a touchdown.
Well, I think, the whole idea of bending and breaking is points. You know, you can bend all the way down the field, but when it comes down to scoring, you don't break. You know, it has to do with points.
And a touchdown is a bigger break than a field goal.
Right.
Okay. So I was actually watching the game playing actual very, very close attention, and I saw that every time that, from what I perceive, every time that we got the team got one of those conversions, we were in zone defense. Have you guys paid any attention to that, or is that something that you might want to look at further on to do a piece on it? Because it just seems like they're on zone, and then they just find the spots there. Somebody just stands there and gets the pass and gets a conversion.
Well, I think more often than not, they are a zone team, and I think a lot of the weaknesses in the zone, in my opinion, are in the middle of the field still. And I've seen a lot of those 3rd and longs, guys in the middle of the field, between the hashes, between the numbers, things happening. I still think it's the combination of the safeties and the linebackers in those zones. The drops from the linebackers, and the safeties knowing when to come up and what their reads are, I still think that's a major issue.
And they won't be better in that until Spikes gets more experience. To be a
good...
Yep.
I'm sorry. And hence the Dallas Cowboys getting big numbers against us, the Dustin Pellers getting big numbers against us,
yep.
And Todd Heap?
Yep.
And Todd Heap, so... So, I don't know, just food for thought, and just a quick over-under, if you guys are willing.
Yes.
Okay, over-under. 5 Randy Moss masks during the game.
Over.
Over.
Okay, and 1.5 quarters for Brett Favre on Sunday.
Over.
You think he's going
to
finish the game?
I do.
Oh, it's a token start just to keep the streak
going.
Well,
no pass rush, it's tough to get hits on the guy.
I think under.
Do you think he'll start, Andy?
I think he's going to play, and I think he's going to leave early. He's not Superman. He's not special. He's a man, damn it. And all I hear is ESPN is putting out these doctors, like real doctors, saying any other man, it wouldn't even be in consideration. He'd miss at least 3 to 5 weeks. He's a man. He's no different. Everybody's like, oh, he's Brett Favre. It's something special. He's got the streak. If he's hurt, if he's injured, he's injured.
But he's been that way for 291 games.
He's not special. I've heard so many guys literally say, any other player on the planet, it wouldn't even be a question. He wouldn't play.
I read that the Peter
Come
King guy,
me.
Peter King talked to
I'm
the doctor
man.
Yesterday.
I'm 40.
And he said that it's not as big a deal and that anybody would play with it. Any NFL player would play with it. It's just up to the, you know, how
the guy
effective.
On ESPN said any other player, it wouldn't be a question, he'd be out.
Yeah.
How does
See,
he
I
know,
think that
though?
I think that's ESPN isms is basically what that is. Although Peter King would certainly qualify into that adoring fan club.
Well, they have a doctor, Fred. I'm not
ESPN must have an agreement with Favre. The year after you retire, you're gonna come work for us. They must. That's the only reason why they must be kissing his ass the way they do. You know?
Maybe. I don't know. And then I saw the other what was I watching yesterday? Oh, the coach's show? Have you guys seen that with Billick and Mora?
I've seen it before.
We saw it, but it was during the show.
Yesterday they were talking about Favre, and Mora goes the other way. It's like he started talking and didn't know where he was going. And he goes, if you decide he's not the quarterback, then you just got to cut him. And I'm like, whoa, how do we get to cutting Brett Favre from he has a foot and ankle injury? It was It was very strange, but okay, maybe there's other doctors that say it's not. I thought less of it when I heard what it was. When, I mean, Childress went into detail with what it was. He was like naming name, and it's a this, a slight this, and a hairline stress fracture. At first, I thought, and I know we've had this argument before.
That's what the Peter King guy said.
It, when Childress described it, me, my novice mind said, "Oh, that doesn't sound as bad as when I heard he has two breaks in his ankle." Like,
right?
That makes it sound like it's just flat out broken.
Someone will get the exact wording.
This guy made it sound
like
there was a fissure, like a little teeny crack.
Either strippers or someone will send in the exact wording, but that's exactly what the guy that Peter King talked to. And the guy stressed, "I did not treat Brett Favre. I did not see this," but he said there was. It's not. People are hearing two fractures and they're thinking in terms of how we would think of fractures.
Right.
That's not what this is.
Right.
There's a stress fracture in one, and then the heel, the calcaneus or
something like that.
You know,
that ligament.
The ligament pulling slightly,
it's
but
not,
it's slight.
It's, and he said, you know, there's certainly medication. He's definitely gonna have to have it shot up.
Oh yeah.
Or, you know, to play.
We know he has no.
Now look,
with that.
All I know is this, and. You know, I could be way off base. I don't know what I'm talking about. But after, you know, he got tackled and supposedly either aggravated or injured the ankle. And then, you know, he had those plays where he's running around, scored the touchdown where he thought it was a touchdown. He's literally jumping up and down, running around the field. No sign of an injury. Now,
well,
that could
see,
be just adrenaline.
See,
you know?
I think you're wrong about that. If you didn't think, when he was jumping up and down, you didn't think there was a sign of an injury?
No.
Oh, God.
He was limping.
Yes.
Afterward, he was limping.
No, he was jumping up and down on one leg, basically. You could totally see he couldn't.
All right, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Now,
I'm with you.
I think he's a drama queen.
He's the drama queen of the highest order. I mean, that walk down the podium was an embarrassment. You know, I got to grab onto the two handles here in case, you know, I lose my balance. It was like, you know, watching your poor old grandma trying to walk off the podium.
Go to the bathroom.
You know? I just hope he makes it to the game, you know. Drama queen doesn't even begin to explain it, but he was clearly affected by that ankle injury.
Is this going to be another Curt Schilling?
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of thing
Corn
it
syrup.
Is. You know, sorry to say. For
I think
Red
Schilling
Sox
was a little
fans,
more hurt.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, but anytime, you know, even the doctors.
Schilling actually had surgery the day he pitched, or the day before he pitched.
Screw that.
Actually, reportedly.
But,
Paul's mad at me.
But
now.
Even one of
were you there? Did
no,
you see the
no,
knife?
No, I can't. I wasn't mad. I was shrugging my shoulders and saying, "I guess you're right. I didn't see the surgery."
You know, one of these experts even said about Favre, you know, if they shoot him up with anesthetic, he can play. You know,
right?
A doctor doesn't say that if it's the type of injury that if you play, it gets worse.
Well, couldn't it though? I mean, isn't a stress fracture from stress? And if you don't feel the stress, it could become worse.
It's going to become a real fracture.
Right.
But you know. He's got 10 games to play.
But I didn't hear that doctor say, I don't think he should play.
Well, part of the problem is all these doctors talking when they don't really know what they're talking about.
I know. That's the thing. They haven't even seen the guy. They don't, you know.
Because I got to think there's some variance in.
Right. If I say I have tendonitis and you say it could be varying degrees of tendonitis.
Right.
You know, because supposedly he had that
streak of all time for a quarterback.
I saw it yesterday. It goes.
Favre and Manning are obviously 1 and 2.
I know it. I can't say. You guess.
Well, I didn't hear the question because I was thinking of something.
Who has the third longest streak for a quarterback of all time? Consecutive starts.
Very famous.
Favre is 291. Manning is 198. The third guy was 116.
Very famous, and you like him a lot, I believe.
Big fan.
Gerhardt hasn't been in the league long enough.
Big fan of Patriots Football Weekly.
Fred, it says
Roger Worski.
Right on the screen.
Roger Worski.
Roger Worski.
It was on the screen.
Oh,
right
it was.
There. Where do you think I got it from?
I was waiting to see how long it would take him.
Now
besides
I forgot
the fact
what I was
that
saying.
I was reading it.
Back to Favre. Another evidence of his divaness. Okay, after the game before this one where they lost, was that the
Dallas
game?
No, they won Dallas.
The Jets.
After a recent game, he comes out after the game.
The Jets.
Arm
absolutely.
Is just covered with ice.
Absolutely.
Tendonitis. Did you see ice on his arm in the press conference after the last game?
I could see. This is where I'm on board with you, Fred.
You know?
Every time it
that
goes bad.
That doesn't just go away.
Every time it goes bad, it's something else.
Right.
You know?
That didn't tendonitis does not just go away. You know?
Yeah.
And he had no ice on his arm after this game.
As I said on All Access.
And I've had tendonitis.
It's like the Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, my arm. My arm is broken.
I've had tendonitis where I literally could not pick up a can of Coke. Literally. and they shot me up with cortisone, and a couple weeks later it was okay. Right. So maybe that, but he had no ice on his arm. And
but how do you know he wasn't numbed or whatever?
Maybe. You know, maybe he shot up. I don't know.
He shot that up pregame. That maybe. Would still be.
Yeah.
Quarterback wants the Vike. You got to get him the Vike.
Maybe. You know? I don't know.
We argued. I don't know if. Did you bring this up, our point counterpoint on PFW TV, Patriots Football Weekly?
We did not bring that up.
We actually argued point counterpoint. If you're the Patriots defense, who would you rather see, Favre or Tavares Jackson? And I actually argued Favre because I think at this point he's banged up. He can't get out of his own way, and he's a detriment. He's making more plays against his team than for it. I said there's a chance Tavares Jackson just comes in and becomes a game manager, just hands the ball off to Adrian Peterson 35 times, makes a couple throws, and they could be better for it. You don't know what he is. I think Favre stinks right now. He could be back. He could get a run coming at some point of good play. I think he stinks.
I had a hard time mounting an argument against that last statement. He does stink, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 10 picks in 6 games, that stinks.
He had the really good year last year, but that could be it.
Great year.
At some point, it has to end.
Mm-hmm.
His productiveness has to end.
My guess is he's got another run in him this year, a 4 or 5-game stretch where he has 13 touchdowns and 2 picks. And
but that might be what it comes down to, is just runs instead of seasons.
Right.
And then you just can't count on him anymore, you know?
Shaq Daddy.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. We should get to some of these emails. Let's see, a couple things. I mentioned that the tickets were hard to find for this game. Jason, Jason writes in, he says, StubHub has 857 tickets, ranging from $145 to $628. So, I guess
$628 sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to be promoting that?
And a quick question, why hasn't Tate been doing returns? He has.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, there was the one game where they were kicking it into the end zone.
I think he's returned
so
every kickoff that has been returned by the Patriots this year, has he not?
Yeah.
I mean, they might have had some that went touchback and no one touched it at all.
I believe so.
Yeah, so I don't know what you're...
I think every returnable kick he's handled.
Yep. Jim in Detroit says, I don't know if you saw this or not, but apparently Brad Childress wishes the Vikes were more like the Pats. I'm confused. Wasn't he bashing the Pats for being the all-time signal stealers a day ago?
See, that's where the question needed to be asked.
Well, and he did say we do it too.
Yeah, were you bashing them or were you complimenting them?
Right,
right.
Imagine if Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, was caught contradicting himself like this with Childress. It just seems normal.
It's not a contradiction if he meant it in a complimentary way.
Right.
They're good at it. I mean, I know that there's a negative connotation behind it because of what happened after the fact.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't know if he was really asked specifically about that.
Tim in Baltimore, if I were Brett Favre, I would end the streak now just in case I got suspended for texting. Can you imagine if that ends up being the reason he ends his streak?
Well, I think if anybody thinks that streak is going to end because of an NFL suspension, I think they're insane.
He says, what sounds better to you? Brett Favre had to end his streak because he got injured, or Brett Favre had to end his streak because he texted a picture of his penis to a girl that was not his wife?
Yeah, because he hasn't got...
more entertaining.
If he's not suspended by now for that, it's not going to happen.
I don't think it is.
And I think that
I guess there's now another person out there that says that she was this Jen Sturger's girlfriend or friend.
Girlfriend?
Sexual nature.
Oh.
But that
just
she always,
that story.
But she constantly talked about texting back and forth with Favre, so it doesn't sound like she seemed that she was being harassed.
Do you mean?
Was not unwanted.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep myself out of trouble for a change.
Along those lines, Fred, I saw that Cialis commercial you were talking about.
Which one? There's many of them.
The one?
There's one that has to do with the
camping.
Animal. No.
Oh,
it's
I think
not
that
the
one,
camping one.
I think that one has... when they focus in on backpacks for about 3 minutes.
Okay, well, there's no
back door packing.
There's one that
backpack.
Has yeah.
Hello.
Well, maybe the other anal
I'm
one
sorry,
is working
I'm not
for
familiar
them.
With that. What
I don't really get the bridge. Why do they go over the bridge? I didn't get.
I'd
that.
Have to see it.
He pitches a tent. The shed turns into a tent, so he pitches a tent.
Right.
Right in the beginning
of
the commercial.
And that's obvious.
Right. And then they're picking up wood to ignite the fire in her.
Right.
So that's kind of.
Yeah.
I didn't get the bridge part and the backpack. I think. Is kind of has to do with
I'd have to look at
anal,
that.
As you would say.
But there's another one.
Have
you seen the one? I don't know if it's for Levitra or which one it is, but it's the guy. He's like in the old car, old Camaro or Mustang, and he's driving back from the desert. And he stops in, gets some water for his radiator because the radiator's overheating. And then, you know, he, you know, he's like a middle-aged guy, and he ends up, you know, after traveling from the desert at night, pulling into his house in the suburbs at night and pulls into his garage.
Just so you know, it's at night, Paul.
You know, so, but it starts in the day. Okay. He drives from the desert back to his house. And obviously, he's just come from the chicken ranch. That's my take on that.
What is the chicken ranch?
You know, it's a house of ill repute.
Okay.
You mean the bunny ranch?
The bunny ranch. Well, there's one in Vegas called the Chicken Ranch, dummy.
I've never heard of that.
I'm going to need to see confirmation of that. It's the Bunny Ranch.
There's probably chicken ranches, too.
Now there's strippers. We're going to need confirmation on that.
Pretty sure there's no chicken ranch.
Shut the hell up. Anyway, you get my point. He has just come from, he took his little pill, and he went to the Bunny Ranch, and now he's back home to his wife.
And how does that equal anal?
No, it doesn't.
No.
I'm just saying that all these commercials have something going on.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
I like the tent, just the obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly, the wife touches the guy and the tent pops up in the middle of the yard. Who wrote this? Me? Subtlety, my ass.
Geez, Paul, is he on death row? He just made a plate of ice cream cake for himself. You going to the chair, Paul?
Where are the spoons?
There, in that bag.
Not only that, but you're stealing other people's lines.
That's a good line. All right, let's get to some more emails. Let's see.
How come the Vikings is
Lyndon from
pop
California,
news?
Who we met, I think it's the Lyndon we met at the party, I'm not sure. He says, the text regarding Favre's injury, quote, "I think it's extremely misleading to say he has two ankle fractures and leave that impression," the orthopedist said. "Technically, with what I have read, he does, but you are not playing an NFL game with two fractures in the sense that we think of fractures." Regarding the stress fracture, he said, quote, "It's a glorified ankle sprain."
Right.
That was the thing I read yesterday. Thank you, Lyndon.
We should have that doctor on our show. Remember that whole argument about breaks and stress fractures and
you
stuff?
You don't think he would hang up in the middle of that?
Maybe.
You know? So there's one doctor's opinion, but again, based
on... Who
hasn't
seen anybody.
Right. Based on just what he hears.
Could be the doctor from the frickin' Simpsons.
Alex from Georgia says, hey, guys, and Paul. By the way, where's Eric?
He'll be by later.
Oh.
It gets me every time.
Just listen to the Childress interview on Patriots.com, and this guy is a buffoon.
Yep.
How he even holds an NFL head coaching job just confuses me. I hope the Pats lay 60 on these guys. Anyway, making a comment to someone's email that Eric is Mr. Negativity, I'm starting to agree. I think Eric brings a lot to the show and the blog, but he always seems to make excuses for why the Pats can't win. He definitely is the anti-Fred. And it does seem that it started when Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, made that comment during the draft. So explain to us, Eric, what's with all the negativity?
You should have heard the guy yesterday, Andy.
The Eric Negativo?
Oh,
Negativino?
Yes.
Did Eric see that?
Absolutely lit him up.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
He is very negative. Did you read the one where they wanted to point out that I'm not negative, I'm positive? There was a whole rundown of the show.
I think so, yeah. Okay. You're the most positive because you love on guys.
I call it like I see it.
Yeah, you love on guys.
I liked the defense when you didn't, and you still don't.
Never heard somebody say love on guys before.
How about guy on guy love?
Audio drop-in, says Paul. About these audio drop-ins, you keep doing 90% of them. They suck today. It's more like 99% that suck. It's like a little kid that keeps telling you the same knock-knock joke. Wow.
I believe that was addressed to Kevin.
So, Kevin.
You suck.
We're going to have to put up like a Kevin
forum. Out of the usual.
Maybe we should put like a forum for people to discuss the technical problems with the show.
Why have we been
what
having
What technical it? Problems?
No, I mean, that's a technical problem, I would say. Wouldn't you?
It's a creative problem.
Creative
technical
problem.
Is when he doesn't turn our mics on, or the open doesn't work, or the commercials don't run properly, or we're not
While it zippers and buttons slow you down. With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
There you go.
Sounds like Moss saying it.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
It really does sound like Moss.
I couldn't have gone over big in the locker room with Moss doing the audio for that.
TG and NJ says, what kind of reaction do you think you guys expect from the home crowd in regards to Moss's return to Gillette? Will he be cheered or booed? He'll be cheered.
Cheered.
Absolutely. There's no reason to boo Randy Moss. if you're a New England fan? None. I just no.
What?
Come up with a reason why you would boo.
Because the offense would be better with him on the team right now.
Then you don't boo him. You wish he was here.
But the belief is that he kicked his way out of town or whatever.
Well,
he was unhappy, and that's why they had to trade him. He made the situation so they had to trade him.
I guess if you look at it that way. I don't. I don't look at it that way.
No, because you think the offense is fine.
Nice to see my boy Sergio playing well. Been a favorite of mine since training camp. Nice to see him on the squad. And Lord Favre or not, it's the rest of the Viking squad I'm worried about. Can we stop AP, Allen, Harvin? We are going to need to decipher those signals really well this weekend to get a win.
People really struggle with the AD nicknames. It's AD for Adrian Peterson, just like it was AD for Adalys Thomas.
It's not all
AT,
day.
It's all day Adrian Peterson.
I thought it was AP.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
No, it's
AD for both of them, and no one uses it. Adalys Thomas, everybody used to call
him
AT.
If no one uses it, that's not it.
No, like, everybody
oh,
uses
no.
it, but
the Adalys Thomas one, I always called him AD.
And it's AD for all day.
I but believe I didn't,
Anthony
I didn't
Pleasant
that.
Was AP. It,
the commercial on ESPN with Adrian Peterson and the Viking man when the guy goes, which one do you want? And he holds up the license plates. I believe one is all day and one is some other Peterson thing. It's all day.
Okay.
He can do it all day long.
Gene in Daytona Beach says, glad to hear Andy's voice again. And by the way, Fred, what's the chances of having more Pete Shepard shows? Well, we'll have to look into that. We'll see how it works.
Each and every week or more
well,
days?
We do
per...
have it once a week, but maybe more than I don't know.
I think he's like Danny Woodhead, be diminishing returns.
Oh, boy. As far as Brad Childress's comment on Patriots.com, my mother always told me, if you don't have anything to say something good about someone, keep your mouth shut. Good advice for Brad Childress.
He called him the all-time greats.
Yeah. That's the question that remains to be unanswered. Was he saying that?
I think he meant it as a shot.
I think he did too, but he kind of backtracked and said he didn't mean it that
right.
way.
I think that's what it was, backtracking. I think he realized, what am I doing? I think he's even how dumb he is, he was smart enough to realize this is going to create a firestorm. Try to backtrack a little bit here with some of my
Someone who should know, because she lives in Vegas, gives us a link to the chickenranchbrothel.com. Thank you.
I got to think that's a step down.
Tracy from Vermont. And Paul says, I lived in Vegas for 30 years, and there was a chicken ranch.
All right. I stand corrected.
So
I never heard
all
of
you.
But doesn't that sound like a step down from the Bunny Ranch to the
All I can
ranch?
Tell you is the show on HBO that, you know, is famous is the Bunny Ranch.
Okay.
Have you been to either ranch?
I don't go to those places.
Nor do I. I don't know why you're saying it like that.
You just go to get your picture taken, Fred.
One of our interns from...
I don't know what that means either, but go ahead, Andy.
I believe he appeared on this show once, right? I won't use his name, but one of our interns is in Spain right now on abroad and believed he
He's
was
on
going...
abroad in Spain?
Yes,
yeah.
But believed he was going to a strip club, and apparently something was lost in translation, and it was indeed a whorehouse.
Oh.
And the woman wanted to negotiate the terms of their
I'll tell you a story.
Agreement.
When I was a kid... in high school, I was under 18, might have been 16. I was hitchhiking down Route 28 in on the Cape Cod.
The Cape
in
Cod.
Yarmouth.
On the Cape Cod.
I was trying to get to Hyannis, and a bunch of college guys picked me up. And they said, we're going to Man's World. Now, Man's World was a place on 28. It was this little house, and it was a massage parlor. But there were rumors that things went on if you paid a little extra. So here I am, this 16-year-old kid with these college kids, and they bring me in. They go, we're going to pay for you. So they bring me into the place, and I couldn't get past. They wouldn't let me in. But I was all ready to go.
Because the two kind of restart the
I don't
game
need to know that
shot into the wrong hole.
That you were, quote, ready
so,
to go.
And anyone that remembers back, this is back in
the tent opens up.
In the late 70s, the Man's World on Route 28, West Yarmouth on Cape Cod.
I could never believe that there wouldn't
Cox
be rumors
big
of that
Island,
being
right?
a happy ending place. I mean, it's a massage parlor called Man's World. I mean,
you're a Cox subscriber.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
You're just blatantly advertising that you're a whorehouse.
There's
when
other...
they say happy ending, what do they mean exactly?
You know.
Well, I know what happens for the
Think
man.
Think about your socks.
Yeah.
I know what the meaning is, but is there a specific act that gets you to the end?
Yeah, she facilitates you.
With what?
Her hand.
Okay. That's what I was asking. I didn't know if there were other options. Like
could be
could
feet.
Upsell to, you know, other holes.
For you, there might be other options. I don't know.
You're damn Skippy.
I didn't know if it was just the hand. Just asking.
For you, a happy ending for her would be get you the hell out of there.
That's probably true. He's very proud of himself with that. Get you the hell out of there.
You Eric should know I got a little wiener.
Well.
So no oral?
Well, that's more than a happy ending. That's
his hands on a lot of balls.
It's a really happy ending.
Yeah, that's a full service, you know, type of thing.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
On service.
Talks about penis a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Paul. It's inside. They're just waiting to get out.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Good to know, Aaron.
Yemi from Texas, are you guys concerned about Brady's numbers? He's only thrown 2 TDs in 2 games without Moss. He may not throw for 4,000 yards nor 25 TDs this season. That is beneath somebody of Brady's caliber.
You might want to save that email till Eric gets here, because he actually came around to my cube this morning and said, another pulse idea I was having was just, you know, Brady not being Brady. He hasn't been that good this year. The numbers aren't that good. And I go, you can write that one.
And you do realize he's the leading MVP candidate
right.
in football,
I'm
right?
thinking, didn't I just say we're seeing the greatest season ever from Tom Brady because of the changes and the different things he's had to go through? And Eric wants to write Brady sucks.
Oh, I'm telling you, he is Mr. Negative. It's
I think he's kind of become Borges, where he's blinded almost.
Yes.
The only game that
he's,
I think
he's
that
looking for it.
You yeah. could say anything. I think he was bad Sunday. I don't think he played very well Sunday.
Sunday was a bad game, and he's had those games when the pressure
but
has
the
been all
the
over.
Other five,
on the road, yeah. under pressure, he's yes. not good.
Yeah. The other 5 games, I don't put it on him. I know a lot of people put the Jets game on him. I didn't.
But didn't make a bad throw.
No, he hasn't been perfect this year.
Who has been?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see the Drew Brees comments when he said, you know, one interception, you're kind of mad. 2 interceptions, now you're a little pissed off. 3 interceptions, you're really angry. 4, I don't have those days. That's how he said it.
Well, he's kind of like Philip Rivers.
Yeah, but he does have those days, apparently. And my guess is, if I looked back, he has more of those days, unlike Philip Rivers, who has never had those days.
Yeah, listen.
Is that peanuts on top of that cake?
Peanuts? No.
Or is that just like
candy
brown?
Corn.
Candy corn and
no,
caramel.
No, the next layer down. A brown, like frosting.
It's like a caramel.
It's brown
like
frosting.
Caramel. It'd be butterscotch.
It is good. You should try it.
I'm not sure that ice cream is on the brat diet.
Let's see. Lyndon from California. This is the Lyndon that we met. Do you think that Pats will focus on shutting down Peterson and Dare Favre if he plays to throw Sunday?
Yep.
Or
yes.
do you think they'll be more balanced yep. on defense? I'm guessing that Moss will demand some sort of double team, but Harvin working the middle of the field with single coverage is pretty scary too. Now that defenses are focusing on Moss, he's been more effective, and the Vikings have actually been lining up Harvin in the backfield for a few plays a game.
Well, that's what they do with Harvin. That's what he's done yeah. since he's been at Florida.
He jumps around. He's not the most polished wide receiver yet. No. He's
slash.
He does everything, and he has benefited from Moss.
But that is a concern in the middle of the field with not just him, but Shanko, whoever you say his first name. He changes it every week that I see. Every TV announcer says it differently. Visante.
Last week it was Visanth.
Yeah,
Visanth.
Changed to. Yeah, that's what he wanted his name
like
changed to for Sunday Night Football.
But if indeed they are focused on taking away Peterson, which I think they should be, those linebackers that have struggled to get there anyway are going to be a half a step or another step slower to get there. That middle of the field could be a, especially if Chung's out, you lose an athletic body in the middle, could be an issue there.
You mentioned Shanko changing his name, people saying it differently. Did you notice people calling Mayo Jared Mayo a lot?
No.
You weren't in San Diego.
Yeah, only the guy on the public address announcer.
Also, did you notice?
Kept calling him Jared Mayo.
Did you find the press box announcer that she was very inaccurate?
In terms of?
Like sometimes down and distance, who made the tackle, things like that?
I didn't really pay much attention to down and distance, but who made the tackle, wildly inaccurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have had a bad spotter.
I don't blame that on her. Yeah, that to me is that's a staff problem.
Andrew,
but I will say that she had very proper enunciation. It was Gary Guyton.
Guyton.
Devin McCourty.
Really emphasize her T's?
Yes. But
yeah, nice T's.
Move on.
Andrew from Maine.
You actually had more to say about her enunciation. Sorry to cut that short.
No, but I have nothing to add to that.
You didn't like her tease.
Andy,
I didn't see her teeth.
Letters of the alphabet now are sexual. It's unbelievable.
Pretty soon penis is coming out. You know
that. You know that. As long as it's not his. Love the show.
You're the one who wanted to show me anal.
Dick Stadium.
Love the show. Been listening since I was 13.
That's a frightening.
He's only 14 now, but that's all right.
I was going
to
say, like.
I have only emailed in a few times, but I listen every day. I have a question about the Colts. I don't want to look too far ahead, but it seems to me that they have lost a step as a team. I know they're 4-2, but it just seems to me that they should be 3-3 or worse. They have only won one game in the fashion I've been accustomed to seeing. I know this is just the way the league is this year, but with the injuries they have received, do you see them being a big contender in the playoffs?
The Colts suck. With Peyton Manning, they're always a contender, especially in a crappy league.
Yeah, and that's all injury-related, and they probably should be 5-1 rather than 3-3. They lost a game on a 60-yard field goal. That right now, with the talent that they have, then probably not a threat. To win the Super Bowl, they're just missing too much talent.
I'd still put them there.
They're going to be a playoff team, I think, because they have Manning. But
I'm with Parcells, especially this year. You can win
when you're out with all those guys. Now listen, like the Patriots have in the past, they've lost guys, and then 3-4 weeks later, when they're used to playing without those guys, they're a different team. And maybe that'll happen in Indianapolis. Right now, it's not a very good team.
Cut that meat!
That team that played against Kansas City a couple of weeks ago was not real good.
I would agree. But it's still.
But they should, I mean, to say that.
They have no depth at kicker.
Will you stop it? You're an embarrassment.
What does that mean?
I'm making fun of Vinatieri.
Don't they actually have a long leg guy?
Yeah, well, they had to sign a punter, too, because they suspended
their
other
punter. Their punter went drunk swimming in the canal.
No, I knew that. And they put him on a reserve, suspended, team, whatever.
I think that guy kicked off.
Oh, okay. Freddie, did you
McAfee,
watch
I think his name
Celtics
was?
Last night?
I watched most of the second half. Yeah.
This isn't actually basketball related. It was more the commercial from LeBron James. I believe
I haven't
the
seen
first
that. I heard about
break.
Yeah,
it's like a 90-second long.
30.
I haven't seen it.
90 seconds.
Tom Curran's been very critical of that. He's been.
I actually
out
thought it was tremendous.
Yeah.
I thought. Now I don't know if it's just strictly written for him and he just went with it, or if he actually had some sort of an active, but it just addressed the issues, all the criticism. Do I just embrace being a bad guy? And it shows
that's
the black.
That's
going to
be expensive for Nike on basically three commercials in a row on a national TNT broadcast.
And it had it was Don Johnson was in it because it was a Miami Vice thing.
Yeah.
And there was a whole
Curran.
I liked it.
Curran seemed to think that Nike managed to make him look like a pussy.
What's that?
I thought they just actually kind of addressed all the criticisms, which I think is interesting for someone to openly acknowledge that all these criticisms are. It starts with him at the thing, the decision, kind of a mock one sitting by himself, and he narrates it throughout. He says all the stuff.
Right.
Should I just be the bad guy that everybody thinks I am now? Should I just do this? Should I? I like it. I like addressing your criticisms and just saying I got to be me.
Did you guys see Vince last night at the game? He was maybe like five rows deep behind. They didn't really zoom in
on
him.
I guess when I was watching, they weren't doing a lot of that.
Vince and I saw Welker.
I saw Welker, yeah.
Those are the only two I saw. I know there were a lot of others there, too.
I saw the bearded guy. Now I'm not sure if it was Gerard Warren or
that's who I thought it was.
Might be Gerard Warren.
I thought it was Gerard Warren.
Ojanaka's got a beard, too, huh? Or one of those guys over there.
Ojanaka has a beard. Yeah.
He was sitting like right behind Vince.
Yeah. But he's – did they have a hat on? Because Ojanaka, I think his – bald, well, not bald, but clean shaven.
I think it was Gerard Warren.
And Warren has.
I also saw your twin brother sitting at the end of the Celtics bench.
Who's his twin brother?
Wubin Foreign Motors.
For God's sakes.
George Martel?
Yeah.
His brother?
You never seen how close. When they stand next to each other, it's like twins.
Do you believe that he could actually say that?
I've never seen them standing next to each other.
Next time you get that chance, take note, because. It's uncanny.
I don't know if I'll ever get that chance.
Uncanny, the resemblance.
You are such a
I can't even find a word.
Well, I was going to say a word that I don't really like using on the radio.
David Alexandra, getting back to the emails here. Dear guys, and of course, Eric. That's Eric with a K. The K stands for creative.
Now Eric comes out. Actually, creative begins with a C.
So we're 5-1, and the Pats are rising to the top of everyone's watch out list. I was listening to Fred comment yesterday about how he predicts the Pats to go 11-5 or 10-6, but almost never picks against them on a weekly basis.
Almost never.
So let's play a game and see if your predictions hold up. Knowing what you know now about the team they are playing, tell me whether the Pats will win or lose. I'm talking gut reactions, of course. Your true predictions will change week to week based on injuries and how the teams improve or decline. I'm just curious as to whether you end up at 10-6 because that sounds like the right number, or because you think in the next 10 games there are five teams better than the Pats. So win or lose, Minnesota.
Win.
I think win.
But this is Fred, isn't it?
Oh, me? Just me?
Me, just me.
At
night.
Fred Minnesota win. Cleveland, happy holidays to all. Favre sucks. That's one of those trap games that they could end up losing, and it won't affect their season that negatively, but it could just be a loss.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't think if Bill Belichick is beaten by Eric Mangini, it'll affect his season negatively?
In Cleveland?
Maybe his
season. Oh, yeah, in Cleveland? You got to be out of your freaking mind.
I'm talking about the team. You know,
he is the team.
And, oh, by the way, they're 2-5.
Pittsburgh.
Because they beat the Saints. Yeah, now they're the greatest
gift to football. They got outgained by about 800 yards.
At Pittsburgh definitely could be a loss.
Definitely could be a loss.
That's his idea of saying, now, like in 2 years, he'll say, oh, remember I picked against them? I said they were going to lose to Cleveland.
Oh, Paul, you know that I've picked against the Patriots from time to time.
So I just don't recall.
But you know what?
Two-game losing streak.
There's
right
like
now.
A Colts game from 03. That's the last one I remember.
Picking with the Patriots is a pretty smart choice.
Again, but I'm not saying that you're wrong for picking the Patriots. I'm saying you're wrong in saying that you ever have.
Fred's just taking the strategy. If he picks the Pats, he's right, Andy, more than he's wrong.
Remember, and that's fine.
Remember the week that Paul,
but he never picks against them.
Remember the week that Paul wasn't here a couple weeks ago and you had to do the picks? He had his notebook, or Eric
did.
Remember? We looked in his notebook and he had all the picks from 2000. Still in there. Go back and look at who I picked when I picked against.
I told you, the Colts game in Indy in 03. That one I'll give you. You picked against the Patriots, and you lost.
Indianapolis, I think that
Speaking
will be a win
lost.
At home now. At Detroit, a win. Jets, win. At Chicago, at this point, I got to
penciling in the Jets.
I
got to
say a win. Green Bay could be a loss. At Buffalo's a win. In Miami here, Dave has them as a loss. I have that as a win. So, okay, so now I have to amend it.
They'll 12-4.
12-4, you know.
And if they beat the Browns, you get them at 13-3.
But I started the season thinking they'd be 11-5, so I'm not that far off. You know, the defense got a little better than I thought it would. And some
well,
of
they
these...
just won another game that I didn't think they were going to win heading into the season,
right.
San Diego. So
right.
I definitely need to amend my 10-6 pick.
Eric's here, Mr. Negativino. Did you see that email?
I saw the subject line, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't,
oh,
read,
you
it?
Didn't read it?
No.
Oh, you're unbelievable.
It's beneath him.
Why wouldn't you read that?
I didn't have
it's
time.
About you. Oh, you didn't have time. Didn't have time.
Oh, with your ego,
oh,
you saw your name in the subject.
This could be a Cialis
commercial. Uh-oh. Paul's got a going problem.
Paul just spilled his Diet Coke. All right, Eric.
You just got too much.
You've
head.
Got your black members only jacket on, so I take it that you just.
This is the thing that the guy Bill from Vail gave us.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Spacing in that phrase is a little weird. It's for black members only. I know.
It's the opposite of most golfers.
How was?
I'm pretty sure that's not
that's
okay.
That's not. Yeah, I know.
What do you want? Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he's feeling better, obviously, huh?
That was like a
takes Tosh, one day off, and he
that was like a Tosh.0 there, or whatever that show is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How was practice, Eric?
Not good from an injury standpoint for the Patriots.
Uh-oh.
This is the worst day they've had in terms of sheer number of people missing.
Pachung not out there, right?
Pachung not out there. Let me start from the bottom of the numerical roster. Slater, who hurt his ankle, I believe it was.
Isn't he 18?
Number
That's
18?
Correct.
Yeah.
Isn't that the top of the numerical roster?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, I guess.
I start with one.
See, I go to the top.
Low numbers I consider the bottom. High numbers I consider the top.
Oh, that's interesting. I go opposite.
Come on, keep it going, Andy. Don't let him go off the hook. Let's go.
Proceed.
So Slater, Fred Taylor, Patrick Chung, Jarrad Page, and Vince needs help, apparently. Help Vince. He wasn't out there.
I think it's probably a personal day.
Not injury related.
Yeah, I bet you're right, Fred, because I saw him
He probably said, if you make me build this playground, I'm going to take Wednesday off. So,
okay.
He's on the Eric work schedule.
So that's a lot of...
How can you possibly say anything about people taking time off?
I have an illness.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the world's smallest violin is about to be tuned up.
Mental. Wow, he's really on edge. He's really on edge.
He's feisty today. He's feisty. He's like a puppy nipping at
you. My guess is he did read that Eric Negativino email. And that's why he's edgy.
I don't have time for that.
What did it say, by the way?
You don't have time for our listeners' emails?
That's nice.
Said he was negative.
Oh, that's all it was?
No, it said that going back to that press conference where Bill slapped him around, he's found all kinds of different ways to pick against the team and to not give credit to anything. Every time that they win a game, he has an excuse. Always picking, finding the best qualities in the opponent. Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Eric, along those
well
lines,
played, Paul.
We got an email that I think was directed at you sort of early in the show, wanted to question Tom Brady's play of late, talking about how his numbers have not been very good, and I thought you might want to address that.
Well, it's just an observation that we've been making.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I is the pronoun.
No, his numbers haven't been Brady-like. You know, he's had double-digit incompletions. He's had low yardage totals that you just don't really. I mean, that's how he started his career with those.
Pre-Moss. Now he's post-Moss.
Everyone sucks but me.
Now post-Moss, it's sort of reverted back to that. I don't know if there's any direct correlation or not. I'm just something I pointed out.
So is the offense fine right now?
It wasn't Sunday.
It's.
I'll say that.
I'll say this. Going into the season, I was fairly confident that they could put up 30 to 35 points a game. I've reduced that total in my mind by 10 points. I think they're good for 20 to 25 points a game,
which is where
on average.
Which problem, in the NFL, problem you generally is, will win a close game.
Generally. The problem is the defense is capable of giving up 24 to 28 points a game.
But
so,
they haven't, which is why.
And they haven't. No, they. You're right. They
it's
haven't.
Been an interesting dynamic.
It's been very interesting.
Who would have thought that the loss of Moss increased the play on defense? And that's what's happened.
Yeah.
Well, me, I had faith.
You won two games that the way they played on defense, if the games were played exactly the same, if they played on defense the way they played in the first 4 weeks, they would have lost them, those two games. Mm-hmm. The way they played on offense, if they had the defense that played the first month of the season, they probably would have lost. But the defense played much better in those two games than it had.
And I think it's only fair and still a good offense should still put up the points, but they played the Jets, they played San Diego, and they played Baltimore, three of the best defenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has something to do with it, too.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And all these teams, when they're playing them, Baltimore was at the end of their fourth road game in six.
Yeah.
San Diego hit with some injuries.
That's why you're Eric Negativino.
No, I'm just pointing out that things are breaking their way, and they're taking advantage
on
of
defense?
Them. Just in general, things are breaking their way.
Oh, sure.
Other teams around the league who were supposed to be good are falling flat on their face. So
basically,
it's
you're
evening
saying,
them
I
out.
Would have been right if
the world hadn't gone topsy-turvy.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah. Okay. Unbelievable. The Patriots haven't had any injuries.
They've had some, but not quite to the extent that other teams have.
Key guys, starters on defense that are no longer even playing.
I'm talking about since the season started.
So what?
Well, because a lot of other teams since the season started have lost a lot of players. That have...
Every team has injuries every year.
There's definitely something cosmic going on with this.
Now I don't know who's saying.
Oh, so now Black Magic has to
it's nice
be involved.
To admit
in
that for you to be Black Magic back in the day that they were the only team that got injured.
Something
it's nice
cosmic.
And,
yeah, things are lining up for them right now.
Okay, and that's what you're gonna hang your hat on. That's the only reason why you could have been wrong.
The best game. Listen,
the stars
Fred.
Lined up.
Fred, the best game. I would say the best game they've played as a team. The closest they've come to playing their best game was Miami.
Right.
In which they gave up 400 yards of total offense.
But what team in the NFL this year has, like, been year
That's
week after week?
That's my
consistent.
Point.
So they're like every other team.
So the other teams
yes,
just aren't as good as you thought.
But in a normal year, Fred, there are teams who are elite and who are playing their best football at this time of year. This year, for some reason, no team is playing their best football, which is helping the Patriots, who aren't playing their best football right now, but are still 5-1.
But if you say that the league started or the year started with the Patriots below these other teams and they're all not playing as well, including the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't the Patriots? Why don't the Patriots lose these games?
Because, well, because they're not screwing up the way other teams are screwing up. They're taking advantage of their opportunities when they have them.
I'm going to give Eric a little bit of help, just a little. Then I'm going to throw another grenade onto the floor. Okay, you could make the argument from Eric's side here, if you're Eric Negativino,
right,
that the Patriots are playing well,
right.
Like, you're under this assumption the Patriots aren't playing well, but they're winning.
He just pointed out that Brady's not having a Brady year.
Yeah, see,
and we always think that if Brady doesn't carry this team, they lose.
Well, I think Brady has carried the team. I don't think he carried the team on Sunday. I think the offense was subpar, and I thought he was a big reason that it was.
And
I thought
they
the offensive line.
They didn't play well on Sunday.
Oh, see, no, I disagree with that.
They played better than San Diego.
They played well for three and a half quarters.
They played very well on Sunday.
I did too.
The defense forced four turnovers.
Yes. What about the offense in the first half?
They weren't great in the
they
first half.
They weren't great
but
in the first half.
In the second half, it was almost perfect.
Well, I don't know about perfect.
It was almost perfect.
At the end of the game, they couldn't close the game out.
17-play, 8.5-minute drive.
That was unbelievable.
And then the next drive, they go right down the field again for a field goal.
Field goal.
Listen, the onside kick is the thing that got the game hairy.
Yes.
And that wasn't offense's fault.
No.
The offense in the second half was
fine. All counts.
No, I understand that. But the Patriots played a good game on Sunday. The other team played a horrible game on Sunday.
Okay.
That's Eric's point.
I know a lot of emailers, not only to this show, but I was reading Mike Reese's mailbag, were not impressed with that win. They're very unsatisfied with the quality of play.
Well, because they feel like that the team escaped with a win.
Right,
they had a chance to put it away. They tried.
They didn't
come up.
Right,
and they had to, rely on a missed field goal for 50 yards.
My argument would be that the other team was better than the Patriots, but the mistakes that the other team made allowed the Patriots to have the lead.
Well, according to Eric, all these teams are better than the Patriots.
In other words, well, that's what I'm saying. They are not playing well. I'm trying to make the
Can
Eric
you argue
argument.
That fact that no team in this league is playing well
I
right
can
now?
I can also argue that the Patriots haven't played, you know,
well,
a great
the,
game.
I don't think
know.
The Patriots
Didn't
are
I just
capable
make
of playing
that argument?
Much better. See, I actually disagree. I don't think the Patriots are capable of playing much better than they have the last 3 weeks.
No.
I think they are capable of playing better than they have.
I think they've played extremely well the last 3 weeks.
How's that being negative?
Better on offense.
I think they can play better.
Has sucked for the last 2 weeks, personally.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change much.
Well,
based on
what
I've seen,
it may not change, but
I think
there's room for improvement there. I don't know if they can make that improvement over the next 12 weeks or whatever, but there is definitely defensively. I think they're starting to be.
They're
pretty much as you can ask
for. They've been
getting better, but they're never going to be stout and shutting people down and all that. But I think the answer
again,
to the
Andy
question
is in my brain. That's a much better way to say
the answer to
what
the
I'm
question here is what Bill said 4 weeks ago about, we hope we're going to be better, but it doesn't matter if we get better. It matters how much we compare to every other team because they're going to get better.
Right.
I think the Patriots over the last couple weeks have gotten better faster than other teams are. Other teams may even be regressing. There's not a consistent, from what I've seen, and this is hard to say when you don't watch all 32 teams every week, but other teams are the Saints. We're waiting for them to get out of their funk. Maybe this funk is just them this year. They're not getting
better.
Maybe
last year was one of those years that all the stars aligned.
But a lot of people believe as soon as Reggie Bush comes back, they're going to change. A lot of people think this is showing that people saying Reggie Bush is grossly overrated is stupid because he does so many different things for them.
Yep.
Defenses have to treat them so drastically differently. Maybe we'll find that out.
Sure. Well, but how does that explain the Saints defense giving up 30 at home to the Browns?
Well, turnovers.
You throw four turns, seven.
I mean, if you don't turn those over and you score, that changes
the
whole
thing.
I know that, but
the Browns had about 100 yards of total offense.
No, I know that, but you're still.
Well, that explains it. You asked how he explained it. That explains it.
Same way that San Diego would explain. How did you go in with a 13-3 deficit when you allowed 38 total yards of offense in the first half?
Right.
You turn the ball over in four consecutive possessions.
But I think the Patriots have grown faster over the last 3 weeks or whatever, especially defensively, and some of these other teams haven't.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's why they're moving up these power rankings and everything.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, I would eliminate from that because I think Pittsburgh has been good.
And their pass defense has been shaky the last couple of weeks,
Who?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
If they don't get the rush, I think their secondary
that's
is
That's a
an
big
issue.
Problem for them.
Because Polamalu wants to be up at the line of scrimmage, so you got three suspect guys back there.
Right.
So after week 10, if the Patriots are 8-2, at what point, Eric, does the better team stop losing and the better team start winning? I mean, so far, every week, the better team has lost in these Patriots games.
Every week?
No, that's not true.
Oh, except for Buffalo.
Cincinnati. Miami.
Don't let him answer for himself.
Well, I'm sorry.
Fred's trying to bat him around
because
a little, like a cat with
Miami
a mouse.
To win.
I did pick Miami
to win.
Well,
I did, too.
Yeah.
But I don't think Miami is a better team than the Patriots.
Well, why would you pick them to win?
Because of the history. They were on the road. They never play well down there.
You know,
we're going with, you know, historical trends.
I also think that's a coin flip. I think they're really even talent-wise.
I think Eric needs to speak for himself.
I told you. I wanted to defend him a little bit, and then I'll be throwing more grenades
attorney,
later.
My attorney will answer for me from here
on
out.
I'll throw more grenades later.
Can I just finish the practice report?
Sure.
Indoors today because of the weather, shells and shorts. Another Wednesday where they've taken it a little bit easier than they usually do.
Sergio Brown.
What about him?
I don't know. Black jersey?
There were three of them. He was not one of them.
Only three?
Only three this week.
Give me another guess. Kyle Love.
They were supposed to prepare for the onside kick, and they didn't.
Danny Woodhead.
No. That's enough guessing. Taylor Price.
That's enough guessing.
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
No,
the fact that he's contributing somehow. I agree with you. Tony Carter, the practice squad cornerback, number 29.
Former fullback.
And, formerly not on Andy's radar.
And the belt and black shirt went to Darius Butler.
Oh. All right. I'm saying these are all fraudulent this week. I think they just gave him out. I think Taylor Price and Darius Butler just got pats on the back. We appreciate you.
Why?
Because everybody's been talking, why isn't Butler playing anymore? You know, this benching's permanent. And Taylor Price, where is he?
Where is he?
We got him. I saw Ash Chalice had him. I saw Mike Reese had him. All these questions.
They all had questions about Taylor Price.
Bill
and
answered
Butler.
It. He's working hard on the practice field. Oh, you don't believe me? He was our practice player of the week last week. No doubt in my mind. Fraudulent.
Okay.
And I'm negative, you know.
No, it's the coach doing what he needs to do to manage the roster, the talent, keep his young guys. I mean, you and I talked about it defensive line-wise. I'm doing a pulse story on all the different looks they've used on the defensive line. One week, you're Ron Brace, you're starting. The next week, you're inactive. Kyle Love, you're playing. You're inactive. Brendan Dedrick's not in it. Now he's starting.
How do you keep that from playing mind games with the player?
How does a guy not say, well, you know? Am I sucking? Or is this a game plan thing? Or
why is the game plan not include
one
me?
One way to do that is to give Taylor Price a black jersey. Pat on the back.
And he's got it all figured out.
What if he's not doing anything?
That's why Eric's got
the
black. Just
give him a black jersey.
Right. Then the other teammates are like, well,
you
this
know
doesn't
he's
mean
doing
anything.
Something. He's out there catching passes.
But he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, but
isn't
I don't think
the
it was
whole
that
idea
great.
Behind the black jersey?
Yeah, but it's not true this week.
He helped us win.
He helps us win
in an indirect way.
He helps us win every week in an indirect way. I think it's not a coincidence he got it this week.
You're a loon.
I don't know. I think if it was fraudulent like you say, I think it would it wouldn't be received well.
I don't
think
they give it to Kotukis, who gets a black jersey in that locker room.
How do you know?
I mean, I think a few do. Ross Ventrone's probably like, oh, damn it, he doesn't deserve it. Three other guys care.
Think he's on the phone with Ray?
Vince
How's
Wilfork could not care any less.
How do I get that
who
belt?
Gets a black jersey every week? Tom Brady couldn't care any less. Rob Gronkowski said, what's a black jersey for?
You're a bizarre little man.
James in Brisbane.
Really
hey guys, hope the big head's not dead yet. No, he's still here. Just wondering if any of you noticed this. I was watching Brad Childress's press conference and notice how deep his voice is. And when I saw footage of him on the sideline, I noticed his voice goes up so much when he's not talking to the media. Does he think he sounds tough or something? What a tool.
Yep.
When considering the coaching matchup, I'm reminded of an old saying, if brains were dynamite, Chili wouldn't have enough move the cobwebs on his balls. That's the old saying.
That's an old saying.
I've never heard that saying before.
I thought it was he couldn't
Not
blow
until
his
you
nose.
Just read it on a radio show.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. Maybe in Australia, there's a lot of guys walking around with cobwebs on their nutsack. I'm not sure.
Eric's probably have cobwebs. Haven't been used in a while.
God almighty.
This seems like
well
one of those
Andy.
Games with the potential to be
You're
a 20
better.
Point win. They do still have AP. He said AP.
It's eight strippers. You own the
My
website
God.
and we're told to stop using it or something, but
it's AD all day. Same nickname as Adalys Thomas.
Okay. We went over this earlier, Eric. For some reason, people can't stick with an AD nickname.
Oh,
they don't
God.
Get it. They don't.
Their brains are half the size of ours, Andy.
Well, anyway,
I never heard that.
I'll do an editorial correction.
Which one? Peterson?
AD for Peterson.
Yeah, all day.
I never heard that in my life. I believed Andy when he said it.
Well, now that he says it, I do kind of recall it.
He's had it since Oklahoma.
But
all day.
I would have said AP.
Yeah, but you
Associated
call him,
Press.
You're the master of malapropisms.
That's true.
You say Wilfork and Warrens.
We knew that word. We were trying to think of it yesterday.
I said it yesterday, and then I said I would have had to thank Eric, but then he would have had to Google it.
Name the old-time comedian who was the master of malapropisms.
George Carlin.
No socks. You should get that.
No.
Henny Youngman?
No.
Norm Crosby?
Norm Crosby is the answer.
Oh, yeah. But that's going back to the 40s with Paul.
Right. Yeah. let's see. I'll continue this email. They do still have AD, editorial correction, and a great front seven. On D, so I'm not...
You should have said AP. Sick.
A great front seven on D, so I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. So he's...
Concerned?
Because of Chile, he thinks that, Chile. Like Paul, it might be an easy win for the Patriots.
Well, I think because of the turmoil on the team.
But I also agree with the tone of
Well, half that turmoil is caused by Chile.
Well, I think that... Favre hates him too. I mean, I think that's part
that's
of
so
it.
That's so weird.
The guy begged him to come out of retirement.
He bent over backwards and
changes his whole.
You know what this is
strategy
like an abusive relationship. Favre knows
exactly.
He has him by the
right.
cojones.
Exactly.
He can do whatever he wants.
I think that's a good analogy.
It really is.
But that's my point. It's not
abused.
Just about Childress not being a good coach. It's about the
Childress
state.
Not being a man.
It's the state of the team.
He's not a man.
He really cracks himself up over
it. It's the way he does it. It's the way he leans over the microphone.
But you don't have any concerns that their talent is
I'm a man.
Good?
I'm 40.
What?
You don't have concerns?
Oh, I have big concerns.
Like, wait. That's how
I know
this
Jared
all
Allen has.
That's all. This all started. You know what Fred
sack,
says?
But
Fred says that he was going to pick Minnesota until Childress said that thing about Spygate.
Right. Now there's no way they
no,
can
you
win.
Weren't.
Thank you.
No, I was.
Thank you. No further questions.
I was honestly considering. Honestly,
no, you said you were going to pick Minnesota
on a stack of Bibles.
Hello, you play to win.
I swear.
Liar.
I have visions of Jared Allen breaking out of his slump this week.
Yeah, or you know, or Percy Harvin taking.
He's not in a slump, but yeah, I think.
You know what I mean?
They have plenty of time.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson. AP.
Yeah.
All play.
Associated Press.
Al Pacino.
I mean, they have. Playmakers.
I know.
Not to mention Moss, who wants to put on a show.
That front seven is as good as it gets.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good now.
I mean, you can get... we've talked about Vollmer struggling a little bit this year. You have Ray
struggling.
Edwards. They have the big guys in the... Yeah.
And as much as we, you know, go back
Bill
and forth
admitting
about
they got a double team, the Williamses.
Yep.
Although, he went to his whole... I don't really see it as a double team. You start out with
there's
a
no such thing,
center.
Is it? There's no such thing.
Yeah, he went into that whole thing.
But don't you think they'll do what we said in the preview and just kind of spread them out and get those guys off the field?
Yeah, and I think they'll spread them out, and Jared Allen might get Brady off the field.
Well,
in a stretcher.
That could happen. Ray Edwards, too, is pretty good on the other side.
I find it hard to believe Jared Allen joins Reggie White as the only guys in NFL history to have three straight 14-sack seasons, and he sucks now. He just sucks. He can't get to the quarterback.
But you know what he has done? I've seen him bat down at least three passes this year. That counts, too.
He had a pick in the last game.
He did. I saw that.
Yeah.
It was a terrible throw.
I mean, that counts, too. You know, we make fun of it, but they are going to have to pay attention to Randy Moss.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not really making fun of it.
Yeah.
You're the only one who makes
I
fun of it.
I think he could absolutely undress Kyle Arrington and Devin McCourty, both.
Yeah. Now, if Favre is hurt and he can't get, you know.
Get it up there to him.
Yeah,
I know.
You know what I mean?
What's that now?
There to him.
Nathan from Southern California. Hey, guys, Brett Favre is on the NFL Network making a long statement about playing this week. He said that he's been through a lot of injuries that other players would be able to play through and that this might be the case this time.
Would or wouldn't?
Yeah, I'm going to read this. He said that he's been through a lot of injuries that other players would be able. Maybe there's the word "not" left out of there. Anyway, he says.
Either way, he shouldn't be saying it.
Yeah, I think he did
say "not." I'm
patting
myself on the back
because Nathan also says.
Unless he's saying legitimately,
would
other players would be able to play through them too?
It's not just me.
Yeah,
other players can do it.
I don't
know. But anyway, he says he's such a.
I just can't believe he made it off the podium.
We do think he's a self-proclaimed hero, and he's a drama queen and so on. Also, Andy, is this when the Jets start their downward spiral?
Sooner
I
or
want
later.
So bad for the Jets and the Steelers to lose, almost as bad as I want the Pats to win. Which teams do you think are the biggest threat of the Patriots making the playoffs or their seed number in the playoffs? It's definitely the Jets.
Pittsburgh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, Jets.
To make the playoffs?
To make the playoffs.
The Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was asking what the best team is, Pittsburgh.
What? I would lean to Pittsburgh, too, because I think the quarterback is much more established.
Right.
But to make the playoffs, if you don't win the division, your margin for error is really small. So the Jets, I think, would be the biggest threat if they were somehow able to win the division from New England.
Right.
Now, basically, you're fighting with the Colts, but whoever doesn't win that South is probably going to have – the second-place team in the AFC South is probably going to have a pretty good record.
Mm-hmm.
And then – you know, you're in Baltimore. There with Baltimore.
Baltimore, right.
That's why that Baltimore win is really big, and it's also why I would have rather have, you know.
Even Cincinnati could crawl back.
You could go
it
either way.
On.
The Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh-Miami game, I know that New England fans are up in arms about this one, but this might be one of those games you look back on and say, boy, I'm glad that call went that way. Because Miami would have been a game behind, and now all of a sudden that's another team in that wild card mix if you don't win the division. Now you're two games ahead of Miami, and that, you're probably going to be all right with that.
Well,
if Miami had won that game, it might not have been a good thing.
And what is great about it is they still have a game left with Pittsburgh and the Jets and with Miami, so things will sort themselves out.
But that's kind of line of thinking. You can lose games that you have left, too.
Oh, sure.
You know.
But they are at home with the Jets and Miami, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, don't you? I mean, I don't want to be Mr. Eric Negativino here.
Well, no one will ever approach that.
You think this team,
doing a great
the
job,
way it's playing right now.
He's even got like a dark gangster shirt on.
He does.
Right.
You know, we should put him on the Pete Shepard
shirt. It's my beat writer of the week shirt.
You kind of look like...
You guys would get one if you ever, you know, reported on
the
team.
He looks like he's headed out to the club.
Gave it to you as fraudulent this week, just so you know.
Just,
we just thought you needed a little pick-me-up.
Replace writer with off and you got it right.
What's that now?
Don't you think this team is due for a losing streak?
We understand.
I heard it.
Thank you.
Okay. What?
Don't you think this team right now, the way it's playing, is due for a losing streak?
The Patriots?
Yes. And I'm being dead serious. I'm not trying to be negative here. Well, I'm trying to say, you're not always going to get
this
the
weekend.
Other
team.
Well, they're due for a loss.
If Brad Childress didn't bring up Spygate, it would have happened this week. It would have started.
No, I'm being dead serious. Like, you've gotten interception returns. I'm saying two games. I'm not saying a long one. But I'm saying they've had good fortune for a month now, I think. Sooner or later, unless Eric's right, unless this is just one of those, you know, 2001 and guys are knocked out on the sideline and you gain possession, I think they're due.
If that happens, it's going to be tough because we've written that story about four times each already.
Yes. But I mean,
we're going to struggle in December.
A lot of the things you look at, there easily could be holes in these games that they couldn't have climbed out of or breaks that they've gotten.
But on the other, on the
and there's good teams
side, maybe they start winning games without the luck.
Sure.
You know? So,
which is more likely?
With the types of opponents they have coming up, they're due for a loss or two. Absolutely.
Okay. That was tough for you to say, I know.
Up to 13-3, by the way. A loss or two.
I like the peanut gallery laughter back here. It's like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppet Show over there.
Old man in the chair back there.
Banana net.
Oh, he's hurt. He's hurt by the old man comment.
Why, who's older?
What?
Who's older?
I don't know.
I gotta say, Fred's older.
I think Fred's older.
Well, I'm 63.
I'm gonna say no
socks
is between Fred and I.
That was last week. What?
I'm gonna say no socks is between you and I.
Probably.
Is that true?
47.
47. What are you, Freddie?
Ooh, 49.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So you're good. Good.
Paul, you're 70. What? George.
Benny.
John in South Carolina.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Hey guys, and Eric Florio. When you guys jump on our pass rush, and by you guys, I mean the douche behind the glass, keep in mind we have one less sack than the Jets. However, the Jets have 49 pass defenses. We only have 29. Getting pressure on the quarterback will not help when they throw quick passes. We need better coverage. Once we get it, we may find we are pathetic at rushing the passer, but right now it would be incorrect to assume that all our problems revolve around rushing the passer.
I think the majority of your problems on defense revolve around that. And I don't care about the number of sacks. They don't get any pressure on the passer.
Yeah, it's pressure.
Although Jimmy had a nice pressure last week.
He did.
Great pressure.
Your guy had a good game.
He did.
That's about as good a game as I've seen him have.
Both my guys.
By the way.
Gronkowski
very aware.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, only guy in the league can make that catch. Yeah.
He was going after the ball on the lateral, too, like a bat out of you know
what. He's a heady player. That's why I've always said, I'd like to have 53 James Sanders on my team. And I mean it, unlike the last guy who said it.
Unfortunately,
benched him a week later.
Unfortunately, they put a team together of those, and that's the problem.
They're 5-1, Paul. What's the problem?
Relax.
You'd have an O-line full of 5'10", 200-pound players?
Really spread them out.
Yeah.
Wide splits. overpaid.
Speaking of that, Jordan from London says, just to say, I think you need to cut down on some of the innuendo from today's show.
Oh, you kidding me?
I guess Andy coming back has started that.
Why do I get blamed for everything?
You do.
Because you start everything.
You had no innuendo yesterday?
That's why they hate you.
This Sunday will be the third regular season game I will have been at. I just kicked off the power on my computer. This Sunday will be the third regular season game I'll have been at Wembley, including the Pats' easy win last year. Do you think there is a possibility of the NFL having a franchise in London or another city internationally?
Yes,
I don't think so.
I do, but I think that's kind of been slowed by the economy and the world economy and everything of
I would say
nature.
You're at least a decade off from there being a permanent team.
That guy said it was going to happen.
What guy?
Illibister? No. Somebody who's like the main NFL guy in Europe. What's his name?
Oh, Alistair.
Alistair.
Alistair Cook?
No, but something along those lines.
Alistair. Yeah. I don't know. The girl I did.
The girl you did?
You know. What's that thing? The
BBC.
BBC. I've been on it. I can't.
The blonde
think of
babe from the BBC.
I need you to say it. I've been on it. You haven't.
The beauteous blonde from the BBC.
Yeah, she was talking
about
him.
Blonde tomato.
Yeah, from the BBC was talking about how he made it sound really imminent, but I don't think that. I think the economy
well,
and all
they,
that.
They throw things out there just to see how people.
What would the startup costs be for the league
it.
To do something?
It's
like
just
that?
Huge. Logistically, I think you'd have to have more than one. You'd have
You're
to
right.
have a division.
I think you'd have to have a division.
Yeah.
Over there?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, that's what I think
I mean, that's,
it would take.
I agree.
I think it's going to happen.
No way. No chance.
Because those teams wouldn't – it would be unfair to have them make that gigantic
game.
Journey
every game.
Every other game.
Hawaii plays,
yeah.
don't they?
What?
They do. It's a good point.
And they play almost all their games at home.
I'm just saying. It happens. They play. You make
true.
Do. Or you do a two-game trip on the West Coast. You do something.
Yeah,
two-game trip. You figure it out.
Yeah.
We can put a man on the moon.
I'm
we
all for it.
Team
I'm London. All for it, by the way.
Chris Ferreira says, just thought I'd mention a few media items available on Patriots.com. Right now, we have Bill Belichick's press conference and Brady's locker room interview, plus conference call audio from the Vikings head coach Brad Childress. He discusses the comments he made early in the week, and Jared Allen. And if you missed it yesterday, Bill Belichick on the Pete Shepard Show. So there's a lot of content available right now on Patriots.com. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, great.
That's good. That's no.
Next topic.
Got to promote. Got to promote.
When's somebody going to promote us?
That's the
usual
crickets.
Response to that.
Zach from Syracuse. First time
Zach
in a long
from
time.
Zach from Syracuse.
I just wanted to say that I've been impressed with Dane Fletcher so far.
All of us have.
Maybe
I
it's too soon, but he seems fast and good at open field tackling, and he had that nice forced fumble on Sunday.
Yep.
Also, what do you think of Guyton's performance Sunday? Looked a little rough to me.
That's looked about the way it's looked the last few weeks.
I mean, there might be an injury involved because he's not looking fast.
He had that knee problem in training camp that looked to be serious when it happened. He missed about, I don't know, a week or 10 days.
Yeah,
maybe.
Lost his starting job.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe he is
lingering.
Dealing with something. Maybe there's some sort of tear there.
Yeah.
And
if you can avoid it, you wouldn't.
He didn't
say
have
that
surgery.
Because you don't want people targeting him.
You know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. Just
but he has survived.
Based on observation.
He has survived this long without even missing a practice time.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Now, I will say that while the rest of the media was, you know, preoccupied with Tom Brady talking today, I did get a chance to speak with Dane Fletcher.
And what did Dane have to say?
And I asked him about that very thing, his ability to tackle in space, because he was a defensive lineman in college.
Plus, there's no
that's
gravity
that's just what
there.
He does, though, right?
Makes tackles in space.
Da-dum-tsh.
Anyway,
he's not paying attention. He just does it now when he hears us
he
wants doing it.
Go ahead.
Let's see, John.
We did notice that though early in camp. Remember when we were talking? I think they were doing opportunity 7-on-7, and we were talking about he doesn't look out of place running around covering people, just
Dane
doing
Fletcher
stuff.
Dane Fletcher was a guy.
He's an athlete
who flashed.
He wasn't really an athlete though.
He's athletic.
He was known as the best,
he was the best
catcher,
in the high
Montana.
School of
it's not
Montana
like he's
baseball.
One of these guys where you read, wow, he captain of the basketball team. He was the greatest this, the greatest that. He's like a hardworking farm boy.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily, you know, he's not from Miami Glades, Florida, where everybody's a great athlete.
John in Raleigh says this question is for Paul. Last week I asked if 13-3 was a possibility, and Paul, you said that no, the Pats would split between the Ravens and the Dolphins, and that by winning both, you would only change your prediction from 10-6 to 11-5. However, on last Thursday's show, you then picked the Chargers to win on Sunday. Should I now assume that you've since changed your prediction again from 11-5 to 12-4?
Yeah.
Or is 13-3 looking like more of a possibility?
Listen, at this point, yeah, it is looking like a possibility. No question.
13-3?
They've won games that I didn't expect. I thought they would split Cincinnati and Baltimore, not Miami, by the way. Cincinnati and Baltimore, I thought they would win one and lose one. I still think they'll go 4-2 in the division. Right now they're 2-1, so that's 2-1 the next time around. I think there's a chance that they could, you know, I thought 10 wins, but I'm looking more to 12 now. And
wow.
If they win 12, you can't take 13 off the
board. Well, if they win 13, then maybe it's 14. And if they win 14, then maybe it's...
I said if they win 12, Andy.
Yeah, but if you're just going to maroon.
Thank you.
So you don't believe they have a losing streak coming?
Streak?
Why does everybody... Two games is a streak.
Well, no, not really.
Those are back-to-back losses. Do they play Pittsburgh and Indy back-to-back?
No.
I don't. Yes.
Yes.
They do.
Then they could have a losing streak coming.
Because that gets you to three right there.
All right.
If you lose any two-game stretch.
Well, you know what? This has got us to two. And next up is the Patriots playbook.
One great host.
With John Rook. Hey, John, how you doing?
With zero.
Good, Fred. Excellent. Sorry. I was just a little distracted here reading all my email. Apparently, my penis needs extending.
Whoa!
John, we just had an email that asked us to kind of knock
Even
off the sexual
getting
innuendo.
In on the frivolity.
That wasn't innuendo.
That really
that
wasn't. That was just flat
You never know what's going to happen when you step inside the playbook.
That's exactly. Well, you know, I get all these emails that say, hey, have you ever done? And I'm like, well,
I know.
Obviously, something must be wrong. So,
3 inches longer immediately.
Well, you know, they have those things on the web now where they know what websites you've been, and then they serve you the ads that correspond to the websites you've been visiting.
Is that so?
That's how it works.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
That's
well,
then why, that's why Fred's computer is getting bombarded with those emails.
It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm
doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I've already made the joke. You can't just repeat it.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm middle-aged, 51, you know, past my prime. No, it has nothing to do with that at all.
All right. John, what do you got coming up?
Well, Paul Allen, the Vikings voice, is going to join us. Yes, he's going to join us because he had to bag out yesterday. But you know what? I had to.
The Seahawks owner's coming on. What's he doing?
Well, the radio voice of the Minnesota.
I know. Yeah, I know. Like I'm teasing.
Yes, and I went back into the archives, anticipating his visit today, to listen to that call again at the tail end of last season when Brett Favre threw the interception against New Orleans.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yes. It was.
Let's do it again, John.
The passion. You can
Favre rolls out over the middle. He throws. It's intercepted. I can't believe it.
That was great.
And then the other guy comes in. It's not Detroit. It's the Super Bowl. I don't even know why he's contemplating passing.
Paul's got it down.
It's a great
clip. It is great. That's the way I would do it.
That's the way PFW called the game. That's how it would end up.
And that's why you're not on real radio. But that guy is on real radio.
That's exactly what I said yesterday. It sounded like
it's PFW.
It sounded like us buffoons, only we're not doing the game.
He's also had some very good calls in other games, too, you know, that have been close calls for the Vikings since he's been there. Radio voice. So we're gonna find out, you know, what he thinks of Brad Childress, you know, taking snipes at the Patriots and all that kind of good stuff, and what he really thinks of Brett Favre.
All right,
you know,
right.
And well, then Andy Kent from AOL Health Fanhouse, AFC East blogger, he's gonna join us in the second hour.
All right, well, that's all coming up on Patriots Playbook. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.